Impactwrestling.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Hidaka Aikuto. Onegaijimasta.
What? Ojigana Mata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com. In case you notice, we've got quite a bit different intro tonight because, well, we've got a very special guest with us tonight. Joining Mace, Rock, and I is one half of the World Tag Team Champions of the World, the face of Impact Wrestling, and the man who, well, is unjustly being forced to face two tag teams at this Sunday's Bound for Glory, the one, the only, Christopher Daniels. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, and thank you very much for getting the introduction correct. It's taken a while, but we've gotten it to the point where everybody's getting it right, and you're right. We are unjustly being forced to defend our titles against four men on at Bound for Glory, but I'm glad that somebody recognizes the fact for the unjust act that it is, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. By the way, I wanted to know, how are you feeling after being put through that table tonight? That looked just awful.
Well, I am a little bit uncomfortable. I currently have ice on my back all the way down to the back of my right leg. I feel a little bit of sciatica, but because I am a physical marvel, I'm sure that I will be 105% for Bound for Glory. In fact, I'm going to do a little bit of light jogging tonight as soon as I get done eating here at the restaurant where I'm eating, and then I'm going to stretch out a little bit, do a little DDP yoga.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. DDP is one
Absolutely.
Of our favorite guests, and it's an awesome
of
product.
Of course he is. I'm one of his favorite tag teams, so there you have it.
Sweet.
All right, and there we go. Good night, everybody. What happened there? We have questions already? Holy crap. Are the other two guys still alive? You guys out there okay? You all right? Did we drop the microphones? What's going on over there?
No, we're good. I mean, just trying to get over just you being 105% for Bound for Glory. I mean, that's just an awesome.
Oh, I see. You guys are doing the math.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know, I get a little flustered around you. It's just, you know, you're so awesome and everything. And we personally...
Well, I would argue with you if you were wrong, but you're right. So, yes, I am awesome.
But,
feel free to tag out to those other two lads. Where the hell are they? Are they helping you with this at all? Are they building something? What's going on in the background, fellas? What's happening?
I don't know.
We really want to know. Can you give us your recipe for the Apple TV?
Yes, it is one part Pucker apple liqueur, one part Sky vodka, one part Fresca, and one Appletini glass.
Awesome.
And shake, do not stir, and then guzzle.
Now, the other question is, how lucky are you to have your own bartender with you at all times?
Actually, I am certified in mixology. I have been mixing my own drinks for the past 17 years. And so, you know, it's great to, you know, other than the fact that I am the perfect companion for anybody in the world, walking around with myself is awesome.
Well, I want to jump into another part of your life. As we know, you are a phenomenal wrestler, the man who has the technical wrestling prowess of 10 men. But you're also...
13 men, but okay. I appreciate
13,
you,
so you
downplaying it a bit.
No, it's all right. You've increased your prowess, as we always try to do, you know, always advance yourself to the next level. But you're also a very intelligent, cultured man because you read comic books.
Indeed.
And I'm just wondering, what are some of the best books that you have read, and if you've got any choice selections from this week's releases?
I will have to go with all of the Avengers, X-Men, Fallout. I picked up AVX Consequences number 1 this Wednesday, which is a delightful read. Brian Michael Bendis has finished up his run on all of the Avengers titles that he was writing, both Avengers and New Avengers, and I'm looking forward to that. And then Uncanny Avengers, which is Rick Remender and John Cassidy, the first book in the Marvel Now series, was an outstanding read. I'm a big fan of John Cassidy ever since he drew Planetary for Wildstorm. So those are my picks for this week.
Indeed, and I actually have a copy of Amazing Spider-Man issue 691 in front of me, which features a very interesting letter from yourself, mm-hmm. which I was quite surprised to see in the letters column. Now, I'm just wondering, Billy Graham exposed to nuclear radiation after driving from New York City to New Jersey for a live event. Then you shook hands with him, and then you shook hands with him, and you became the amazing man that you are.
Exactly.
Very interesting origin story.
Both Frankie Kazarian and myself. Both Frankie Kazarian and myself. It's 100% true. You can look it up. It's on Wikipedia. It's on someone's Wikipedia page. Probably not mine, because I don't write my own, like some people. But look it up. If it says it's on the internet, it's true. And it happened in a Marvel Letters column, so therefore it must be true.
Well, considering it was a letter written by yourself, we'd have to take it as fact. But I'm wondering, when are we getting the Christopher Daniels movie? You know, we've seen The Amazing Spider-Man. When do we get to see the Christopher Daniels movie?
Well, since my story is still being played out day by day, no one really wants to put any effort into putting the movie out now, because some of the best parts are still to come.
Well, that sounds good, but if we can't get the movie, I mean, we've all seen your work on the post show and on the commercial breaks, which, by the way, if you all haven't seen that, go to impactwrestling.com and check that out, because it is awesome and hilarious. We actually want to know, and we need to know who we need to talk to in Impact Wrestling about getting you and Kazarian your own show, because you guys really do deserve it.
You should forward all requests to Scott Fishman, the head of Spike TV. He already knows that we're way more entertaining than 95% of the Impact Wrestling roster and 98% of Spike TV overall. You're welcome to send any letters to sfishman@spiketv.com. Please let him know that Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian are ready, willing, and able to host their own one-hour variety show a la Ed Sullivan.
Oh, that would be awesome.
It would be awesome. And if anyone in that room got the Ed Sullivan reference, I would be 30% surprised.
Well, if we can, I'd like to get back to Impact tonight and really Bound for Glory, because, like we opened with, you're being forced to face Kurt Angle and AJ Styles, as well as Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez. And aside from you being 105% on Sunday, like you say, what are you doing to get ready? I mean, as far as you and Frankie, are you guys good to go, or...
Please, Lindsay, such a silly question. Look, of course we're ready to go. We've already beaten Kurt Angle and AJ Styles, not once but twice. We beat them for the belts we currently hold, we defeated them for. We also beat them at No Surrender. And then Chavo Guerrero III and Sean Hernandez Jr., we've beaten those guys on national television. So, I mean, Hulk Hogan figured, well, if we can't beat them, we got to stack the deck against them. So they put all four of those guys in the ring with us. But the problem is, now those two teams are arguing with each other. Oh, who's going to get a chance at Daniels and Kaz first? Is it going to be the Latin guys? Is it going to be AJ and Kurt? I'll tell you what the answer is. Neither one of those guys are going to get their hands on us. We're going to pick them apart like vultures picking apart carrion on the Serengeti. We're going to beat them to death. We're going to leave them laying in a pool of their own blood. Simple as that.
Well, I figure that. I mean, and I figured you guys were smiling after the tension tonight between AJ and Kurt, where I believe it was AJ walked out on Kurt. So I knew y'all were smiling after that moment.
I'm smiling all the time. Do you know why? Because I'm half of the World Tag Team Champions of the World, and I'm damn handsome. So, I mean, 99% of the time I'm smiling. That 1%, I'm usually asleep.
Amazing. Just wondering, what was it like being in the ring with the future Hall of Famer Sting tonight? Did you enjoy your time? Well, besides being put through a table, which hurts like hell, I've been through one myself.
Well, any time I can physically dominate someone like Sting, it's awesome. But, of course, things being the way they are, we were double-teamed. We were unjustly, beat upon. It was a two-on-one disadvantage that both Frankie and myself were put in, and then they bring tables into the ring. We won that match by DQ. We were 3 seconds away from beating them both with our finisher, but of course then the table came into play, and of course those guys couldn't beat us one-on-one, two-on-one. They had to bring a table in. It was like an IKEA fest in there. Everybody chanting, "We want tables. Hey, Bubba, get the tables." Crying out loud. If they wanted tables, they could go shopping. You know, this is professional wrestling. Frankie and I don't dabble in this table nonsense. We don't need props or paraphernalia to beat teams. Nah.
Of course you don't need any of that type of paraphernalia. You're two planets worth of awesome.
You indeed are. And we're three syllables worth of great into business. You see that? See what I did there? Catch on to that.
Now I have to know, what are your thoughts about Sting going into the Hall of Fame? Because I know the last time we talked to you, you had your speech all ready to go, and we all thought you were a shoo-in, but it seemed that Sting got named instead of you. So, I mean,
hey,
what are your thoughts about him going in?
I completely understand. As a current top guy in Impact Wrestling and someone whose career is so very far from being over, Sting, however, he's maybe 3 days away from retirement at any given moment, so that's fine with me. I mean, he's been a great ambassador for our company. He's been someone who supported this company since its inception. He's been an outstanding guy backstage. He's been a support to the younger wrestlers, guys that need direction and inspiration. I don't personally need it, but I see him backstage helping young lads out, guys like Dakota Darso and Jesse Sorensen and Zema Ion, and you know, every once in a while giving a good glad hand to someone like AJ Styles or Bob Van Dam. You know, I don't need those accolades from Sting because I already know I'm great. But I mean, you know, he's trying to help out. He's trying to be a team player, and he deserves it. I mean, he's put his effort in. He's been an icon without, you know, making a pun. He's been an icon for many, many years now, and he deserves it. It's great, and it'll be great to watch him go off into the sunset and stop plaguing our locker room.
Now, here's a question for you, because I know you know their history like the back of your hand since you've been there from pretty much day one, if not day one. And this is, you know, the upcoming Super Bowl for TNA, so I mean, what are your thoughts on the Bound for Glory event as a whole? Are you excited for it being in Phoenix? Do you have a favorite moment, since I don't believe they've shared your moment yet on TV?
You know what, my favorite moment, and I'll share it with you because I don't know if they're going to share it on television because they're biased against me, but the first Bound for Glory, the day before the flight, or actually hours before the flight, where I had to leave Los Angeles to fly to Orlando to participate in the first Bound for Glory, my son was born. And if he was born 8 minutes later, I would have missed the flight. I wouldn't have been able to make the first Bound for Glory where I wrestled AJ Styles in an Iron Man match for the X Division title. But 7 minutes after he was born, I got in my car and drove to LAX. And if you watch the first Bound for Glory and you look closely, on my right hand, you'll see a white hospital bracelet that I wore in honor of my son's birth. 3 days before the, or 2 days before the Bound for Glory event. So that's my favorite event. As far as Bound for Glory, you know, I can't say enough about the effort that our locker room puts together. And when we get into a situation like Bound for Glory, you know, I think everybody saw how much effort we put into Slammiversary this year. Slammiversary was an off the charts show. And now we're going to be in another new market. The first time for us to be in Phoenix, Arizona, is going to be a chance for Phoenix to see their favorite wrestlers. For some people, that might be Sting. It might be AJ Styles. But let's be honest, most of the people's favorite is me and Frankie Kazarian. So, I mean, it's going to be a great day for all of Phoenix to get a chance to see the physical fascination Frankie Kazarian and the sexually delicious Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, I wish I could go. I'm actually up in Salt Lake, but sadly I have to work this weekend, so I couldn't come down. But
that's what vacation days are for. Hop in the car and drive down. You can make it.
I'd like to.
Now, the other big thing that's been going around TNA at the moment has been Aces and Eights. I'm just wondering your thoughts on the group as a whole, and do you have any idea who the leader might be?
I absolutely do know who the leader is, and I am privileged to share it with you as an exclusive. I happen to know that the leader of Aces and Eights is Ron Perlman. There's also a couple of members named Charlie Hunnam, Mark Boone Jr., and Kim Coates. You look it up on IMDb, you'll see those guys. They're used to running, biker gangs. They have a biker gang out in Charming, which is Northern California, but every once in a while they come out here and they run Aces and Eights. I've come to the bottom of it, but no one wants to listen to me. So there, you guys can break the news that it's those guys, and we can get all this settled.
Fantastic. Cool. I love it. And, I mean, they even got their own poster dedicated to him, too, which is pretty awesome.
If you say so. I mean, I've had posters dedicated to me, but, you know, at the face of the company, it happens that way sometimes. I've decided not to be, like, a poster hog, so I let these young guys like Sting and Aces and Eights and everybody get their poster time. You know, I mean, it boosts their confidence. I don't want them to feel like they're underneath me, even though they are.
Now, I got a chance to meet AJ Styles when he came down to Australia recently. Of course, running from yourself.
That's horrible. That's terrible.
Well, you know, I had to keep an eye on him for you to make sure he wasn't running around with any of the ladies, you know.
Just
in case something happened down there. Yeah. But I'm just wondering, when am I going to see Christopher Daniels in Australia?
Well,
when's the next time you're going to be able to come down here, man?
It wasn't too long ago that I came out for AAW out in Perth. I had a good time at that event. And, you know, who knows, man? I'm always open to come down to Australia. I've always had a good time coming down to Australia. And it's just a matter of someone making that call and saying that they can, they would like the services of one half of the World Tag Team Champions of the World. So get on that. If you know these Australian promoters, let them know. Christopher Daniels is always happy to travel down under.
Awesome. I'll be seeing a few this weekend, so I'll make sure to pass that along.
Delightful.
So, just really one last question or one last series of questions before we let you go. But,
All right.
You know, as you said that, you know, your career is far from over, and we certainly hope that's the case because everybody here enjoys watching you and you're one of our favorites.
Of course.
Do you have any future aspirations after Bound for Glory? I mean, I know you and Frankie are at the top of the tag team division, but do you have any further aspirations between the two of you to maybe, you know, capture all the belts or all the gold? And just
well, of course,
run the company.
And I would, you know, our goal is to one to be world champion as well. But I mean, right now we feel like being the best tag team, not just in TNA, but in the business, again, three syllables, but that's cool. You know, being the best tag team in the world, there's a lot of responsibility on that. And I have no problem riding this particular ride until it runs out of gas. And there's no way that we're running out of gas anytime soon. We're definitely going to be the tag team of this year, the tag team of next year. We're going to be the tag team of years to come. And I mean, people are going to talk about us the same way they talk about not just Beer Money and America's Most Wanted, the Motor City Machine Guns, but in the same way they talk about guys like the Rock and Roll Express and the Fabulous Ones and the Road Warriors. We're going to be devastating. We're going to be dominating just like those tag teams.
Fantastic. And just one more time, you know, you can catch Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian this Sunday at Bound for Glory. Now, I know they're doing the fan access. Do you know when you're appearing yet, or is that still kind of up in the air?
I know that we're on the 12:30 session. I'm not sure what number that is in the day. But in addition to doing the fan test, we're also appearing at Samurai Comics on at 1051 East Camelback Road on Friday from 3 to 5:30 on Friday afternoon. If you're a comic fan like me, come watch us, come meet us, come buy the World Tag Team Championship of the World t-shirts that we got, come buy an autographed picture of us, come take a picture with the best tag team in the business if you like. We're all there, we're just trying to shake hands, glad hand the Phoenix folks, let them know that the best tag team in the world is in town.
Now, just one final question for myself. It's something that we got submitted by a fan to ask you. With the presidential elections coming up, if you and Kaz were to run for president and vice president of the United States, what would your slogan be?
What would our slogan be? An apple tini a day keeps the doctor away.
Love it.
Fantastic. Apple tinis for everyone.
All around. First round's on me. But then after that, it's up to you. The first one's for free, and then you pay.
Sounds good. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on and taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy man. So, again, thank you so much for coming on this evening. Everyone out there, please check out Bound for Glory this Sunday live on pay-per-view. It's going to be an awesome show. We all know it will be. So please check it out. Buy it. Watch it. Tell your friends. Go in the movie theaters and watch it. Get some popcorn and
some
soda.
And while you're at it, you can also follow me at FAC Daniels on Twitter. Go to www.fallenangelchristopherdaniels.com. Follow my schedule. And thanks to all the fans for listening in to one of the best in the world. Thanks a lot.
So thank you so much. And you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will be right back.
The Rack, named after some brush. That's awesome.
Right where it hurts, I'm gonna give you one. It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on a subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Patriot.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just say, yay, it wasn't the CB radio.
On October 20th, the biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, well, this is all for you.
It's the 250th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look! It's 4 billion years of awesome radio!
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
No spooning involved.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't, midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. I'm like, well, he's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a screen than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female, so we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That's part of the cost, is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker, I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 250th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night, October 20th, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy's, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Park was on, DP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Park, we're all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on wildtalkradio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Hi, this is Christy Annie, TNA Knockout.
I'm out here because I have something very important that I need to say.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, it's a do to say about it. They say it's new, but I haven't got it.
I'm off the chain. Time to go against the grain. I'm off the chain.
right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com, home of custom ear, or not custom, but awesome earbuds that are made of all sorts of cool materials like wood. So please go over to TweakedAudio.com and buy their stuff. If you type in the promo code WildTalk, you get about $7 off. So please go buy their stuff because it's cool.
Nothing if I have wrong, money, I... Nothing wrong with saving $7 on a product. Like I know that's a great deal.
They do free shipping worldwide, which scared the crap out of me because here it is, save $7, free shipping. Take my money.
Can't beat that at all. Seriously.
By the way, was that Bobby Roode's theme?
That was Bobby Roode's theme.
Wow, I like it so much better with words. I'm sorry, I don't like it.
It fits better with words.
Yeah, it does. It makes more sense. Just the way they have it now, I don't like it. So, but anyway, if you're just joining us, you missed the one, the only, the amazing Christopher Daniels. We just did about a 20-minute interview with him, so go back, listen in the archives as soon as Rock can get him up, because I know we had a lot of fun. I hope he did.
He sounded like he had a lot of fun with us, and he's a great interview. If you haven't heard him before, he's just awesome. He's Christopher Daniels, one half of the World Tag Team Champions of the World. Doesn't get any bigger or better than that.
Nope. And I'd like to extend my thanks to Mark, his publicist, who helped acquire him for us. So thank you very much to him.
Yes.
We greatly appreciate him and all that he does for us. And ooh, God. By the way, we're also watching the football game. Pittsburgh is up 23-16, and another Steeler has gotten hurt. I swear to God, the entire team is going to be injured before the end of this game.
This is what happens when you play 4 days after a game. You get hurt. You're not fully healthy to, you know, play a full game.
So, that means, you know what? That's a justification for Christopher Daniels and Kaz to not have a match Sunday. Damn it, we should have thought of this while he was on the phone.
Damn, but no, like you said, he's 105% ready. He'll be for Sunday, and we'll get into it later, but my pick is, you know, the World Tag Team Champions of the World.
How can you not pick the World Tag Team Champions of the World?
I don't know.
I think it was, who was it? It was Tim or Omega, one or the other, decided to pick against them.
Kane Kitts will tell us. He has the full sheet from Sunday. He'll let us know.
But that, non-believers.
But that's later in the show.
Mind you, I will say this. Screw, you know, what was it, Barry Schaefer, 2012, those guys on Jaegers. Screw them. I'm voting Daniels and Kaz. Appletini at A keeps the doctor away.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think I'm going to change my vote, too. Yeah, an Appletini for everyone. An Appletini in every house.
Ooh, what a catch.
Yeah, that was a good catch.
Especially now that we know how to make the Appletini.
Yes.
I know.
Give us the recipe. Exclusive. Only here on the rack.
And I still can't believe it. Ron Perlman, the leader of Aces and Eights.
I know, right? He gives two
first
exclusive.
Hellboy and now Aces and Eights. Dude.
But
you know what? The leader of Aces and Eights has to be a complete badass, so it makes sense.
Right. That's
true.
That's what Daniel says it is. We can believe him, or we cannot believe him. But that leads us to our question of the night, Lindsay.
It does. For those of you who haven't been paying attention to us on Twitter and Facebook, and why haven't you, our question of the night is as follows. Who do you think the leader of the Aces and Eights is? This Sunday is Bound for Glory, and, well, there's a possibility they may get revealed. So we want to know what y'all think, the fans out there. And I hear we got some pretty interesting answers.
Yeah, we have some interesting answers, and a lot of debate has been going on where we post and stuff, so we'll get into that later in the program. We should tell everyone we're going to be TNA heavy tonight.
Yeah, we're just going to warn you now. We don't have a lot of discussions tonight because, well, there was a ton of news this week that we wanted to get into, and most of it is WWE, but later in the show we're going to be talking, of course, TNA, Bound for Glory, making our picks and selections and all that good stuff. But I guess we should get into the news.
But want to do news, or should we go to Impact first?
Let's do Impact first.
Let's do Impact first. Let's get that out of the way. And then we'll get into all the news and stuff.
Yeah, so tonight was the go-home for Bound for Glory, and I have to say, hell of a good job by TNA. It was a fantastic go-home. If you didn't watch it, please watch the show. Find it on replay. I don't know how you do that. But
they used to air it on Spike.com. I'm not sure if it's still available on their website anymore. But usually they air a replay on the website. I could be wrong. Don't you know, hold me to it. But yeah, you're right. It was a good go-home. It worried me for a little bit. The show worried me. I thought, okay, they're going to end with a match, and that's going to be it. And that wasn't going to be the hard sell for the pay-per-view. But they got me at the end. They did good.
Yeah, and we have to start with the absolutely fantastic opener that was Cowboy James Storm versus Austin Aries. Non-title bout, but oh my god, a great way to open the show.
It really was. It was a great way to open a show. Kicked it off with a good match, two quality wrestlers in there. And you go, okay, the basic setup for tonight was James Storm and Jeff Hardy. James Storm and Austin Aries would fight, and Jeff Hardy and Bobby Roode would fight. And you figured these are the top four guys on the show Sunday, and you go, okay, something's got to give. One's not going to beat the other clean, and well, in this one, after a good match, it didn't end clean.
No, it didn't. After a very competitive back and forth between Storm and Aries, Bobby Roode decided to make his presence felt, and he ran down and pulled Storm out of the ring as the referee was checking on a downed Aries. Roode slammed Storm into a ring post and then tossed him back in, allowing Aries to hit the brainbuster for the win.
I thought it was a good match, really strong opener. What do you think, Mace?
Hey, it's the usual TNA staple when they get two guys in the ring with a lot of talent. Of course, they're going to put on a great match. That's one thing that we've been saying for the longest time about TNA. If there's one thing we can never fault about this company, it's the wrestling.
This is true. And I actually wouldn't mind seeing a feud between Aries and Storm. Just based on this match tonight, I think, and based on what Aries did later in the show, I think we could get a phenomenal story out of him.
This is very true, and well, we'll get to that later on in the show. But Mace brought up wrestling, and we saw a wrestler in the back.
We did. We saw one half of another set of tag team champions, Wes Briscoe, who is the tag team, the NWA Ring Warriors, I believe, tag team champions with Cassidy Riley. By the way, go to CassidyRiley.net and buy his shit.
No. Lindsay needs to get paid. Don't make her Pim Pam Cassidy Riley.
No, it's called He Just Had a New Baby. Go buy his shit.
Diapers cost a lot of money.
They do. But in the back, we saw Wes Briscoe, and he was, of course, talking to Kurt Angle, which I had an interesting thought, I'm surprised it took me this long to think of it, but we'll get into that in a minute. And basically, he's asking Kurt if he can tag along to Phoenix for Bound for Glory, and Angle, of course, says, sure, you can come. Styles walks in and tells Wes to beat it, and Wes, of course, didn't look happy. But AJ asks Kurt what the hell is going on, you know, where his first priority is, whether it's teaming with Steam or Sting or teaming with AJ to win back the tag straps, which, sorry, AJ, is not going to happen. Kurt says that the Aces and Eights jumped him, and so he wanted in, but AJ says they jumped him too, and he's still in the game. AJ says he plans on winning those belts and asks if Kurt does too. Kurt says he does, but AJ isn't buying it and tells Kurt to stay in the back for his match. AJ then walks away looking all hurt and pouty, and Kurt just stands there asking what the hell is going on.
So what's your theory?
Wes Briscoe is the guy getting the Aces and Eights in.
Oh. Which means Kurt Angle's letting Wes Briscoe in, and it's all Kurt Angle's fault.
Yep.
Unless Kurt Angle is the leader of the Aces and Eights and it's all set up.
Could it be?
Possibly. Who knows?
By the way, Cassidy, if you ever hear this and you were in the Aces and Eights and you didn't tell me, I'm driving down to Louisiana. Just saying.
That'd be funny if he is.
I could have promoted TNA on the site, damn it.
Maybe that's why he doesn't want other things promoted.
I wonder. Yes. In case you didn't know, I am his webmistress, so, and no, it's not like that. So, yes, go to CassidyRiley.net. Look at my pretty site. Buy his shit. Thank you. Moving on.
But I like this backstage bit. It established, you know, the possibility with whatever Wes Briscoe's doing and what the scenario you proposed. And it, you know, put some heat between Angle and Styles leading up to the match on Sunday.
Yeah, it did exactly what it needed to. It helped to further introduce Wes Briscoe. We hadn't seen him in a while, which was great. And, you know, also it teased that tension between AJ and Kurt, meaning that maybe they're not going to be 100% come Sunday, which will give, of course, our favorite boys the edge. But, Mace, what did you think?
To be honest, I can't remember all of a sudden. No, no, my brain's just gone.
Your brain's going, oh, what are they showing during the break? Oh, they're showing her again?
Yes, that's right. My major complaint about the backstage shit all night. Oh, God.
Because this was our first chance.
Let's promote Tara Terrell. She's wearing a very low-cut top and very, very short shorts.
No, they weren't promoting Tara Terrell. They were promoting her boobies.
Well, Tara Terrell, it's the same fucking deal.
What they actually were doing, they were promoting The Rack.
Yes, Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where we have such awesome guests as Christopher Daniels. And yes, we are going to do this all night because we're giddy right now.
We should get some sponsorship with Taryn Terrell, have her put, you know, the show name on there, and then whenever she...
I'm quite sure if we gave SoCal Val a six-pack, we'd be able to get some promotion.
Of post-show lager?
Of anything. Post-show lager, fucking cocaine, whatever the hell she is on after the show.
Oh dear, was it that bad?
Oh no, this isn't, this is a one-time deal. This is her every week.
She's really chipper.
Yes, she is.
Yes.
Or drunk.
Could be a mix.
Some could be.
Anyway, moving on. We come back from the commercial break in Taryn Terrell's boobs with Sting and Hulk Hogan in the ring. And they're talking all about the match at Bound for Glory last year between Hogan and Sting. And, well, then they kind of sort of...
They talked about how they had to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain just stopped.
They made a deal with the devil, and that brought out somebody.
That brought out two angels.
Yes, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. They kind of questioned why Hogan would pick someone as untrustworthy as the Bully.
It's not Hogan, it's Thunderlips.
Thunderlips and Heath.
Yeah.
But the Thunderlips line was next, so nice. You're jumping ahead.
Was it? I thought it was straight away.
No. This was
Kaz. Kaz called him.
Yeah, Kaz called him Thunderlips. But, you know, they could have picked the best tag team, because Zarian said Thunderlips should call off their title match at Bound for Glory and replace Bully Ray with Kurt Angle. This well brought out Bully Ray. And said Angle would have been a great choice if this was a wrestling match. But this ain't a wrestling match. It's a fight. And he's the right guy for the job.
Wrestling match.
Of course it is. We all know it will be a wrestling match because that's what they do. When they say fight, they wrestle. When they say it's going to be a wrestling match, they fight. It's opposite. But he said he doesn't have to be friends with Hogan or Sting. He just has to be, you know, his partner. And he suggests, you know, to show that they can work together, that tonight on Impact, they should team up and face Daniels and Kazarian. And, well, Hogan listened to the people saying yes, made the match for later on.
You should have listened to the people saying no, even though we got to see Kaz and Daniels wrestle. I mean, come on. It's like, what, 4 or 5 days before the pay-per-view? That's just not right.
This is true. This is very true. They should have, you know, they should have, see, they made the mistake coming out there, and they know Hogan's going to screw them, and, well, this is what happens.
It is.
But you can tell when Daniels and Kazarian are out there, they're just having so much fun.
They are. But after this, we went to another commercial break in the back. I don't honestly remember what happened, but they came back. Do either of you remember what they did on the commercials?
Boobs.
Boobs. Okay. Moving on.
Who was in the ring at the time? Because depending on who was in the ring at the time, if they were in the dark, then...
I think this was when they were in the dark, maybe, and I don't remember. I can't remember.
No,
the dark one was later with Sting. Whenever Sting came out for the match, that's when they were in the dark, and then she was, you know...
Either way, it was asked to set a tits a question night backstage for at least half the show.
I think it was the entire show, because they did it with Tess Macker, too, and Gail Kim. It was Ask the Wrestling.
See, at least they have the ability to showcase their female division, even if it is a backstage deal. Hello, WWE. Learn to do something with your females instead of have them, you know, do whatever they do on their knees backstage.
Anyway.
Moving on. After the commercial break and the boobies, we had Supermax and Chavo Guerrero Supermax with Chavo Guerrero, my bad, versus AJ Styles. It was a pretty good match, pretty competitive, and they again touted the whole Guerrero thing and showed Hector, which I'm always glad to see Hector, but getting a little sick of the whole, he's part of the legendary Guerrero family thing and it being all about him, but anyway.
It was a solid match. Hernandez was able to pick up the victory. I was surprised he lost to a shoulder block, though.
Yeah. It was kind of sort of a crappy finish, but to be fair, Hernandez's shoulder block, he's kind of a big dude, that might hurt more than average.
Yeah, just as true. This is true.
The dude is a Mack truck, so...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but he looks like he'd fuck you up in, you know, any either way.
Yes, and we're about to see...
Oh my god, this game's going to go into overtime. For those of you that are NFL fans as well as wrestling fans, the game is tied 23-23 with 48 seconds left, and Pittsburgh just missed a vital field goal.
54-yarder. So can Tennessee, who were not supposed to win this game, win this game? Stay tuned. We'll keep you updated.
Yes, because, well, we're all sitting here watching the game with bated breath.
And we're multitaskers. We can do that. We can talk about Impact and watch football. We're just that good.
We are. Which is why we have guests like Christopher Daniels. But after the match, we had the Aces and Eights in the clubhouse, and the VP says how impressed they are at while Hogan plays chess. They show that Joseph Parks is being well-treated. He's not being tortured this time. And they actually fed him, which is so nice.
Did they at one point, they called him pretty damn adorable?
Endurable.
They did indeed.
Endurable, because my thing says adorable. I don't know.
I heard adorable.
I heard adorable too, but the thing I says endurable, but you never know what they said. But yes, Joseph Park is adorable. And I'm so happy he's not being tortured anymore, because that was just awful.
That was kind of creepy too.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy. But, anyway, he goes on to say, it's funny how a common cause can bring enemies together. He says Bully Ray was a surprise, but not one that they can't overcome. He says they posed the question to TNA a few weeks ago, did you lock us in or lock us out? And tonight they may have to put that to the test. He says no matter what they see, Aces and Eights is on Sunday night.
This goes back to Wes Briscoe. Locked in, locked out, Is he already in?
I know where I like to lock Wes Briscoe in, but that's a completely different matter. Anyway,
we come back from commercial, and we have Lindsay's favorite wrestler of all the times.
Yes, I want to say this before we go into the recap. Zema Ion, you are not pretty, okay? So stop using this tagline, I'm pretty effing pretty. Because, yeah, no, honey, you look like a horse. So just stop.
He says he's living proof that he's humble, that being humble gets you nowhere in life. He says he's broken arms and ended careers for the X Division title. It's bittersweet because Sunday is the biggest show of the year, but he doesn't have a match because he took out the entire X Division. There's nobody left because they don't care. this brought out Rob Van Dam. You know, Lindsay said something about he's pretty damn... What was this line again?
He may not be... he's pretty effing pretty, but he's also pretty deffing dangerous or something.
Pretty effing dangerous. But this brought out the whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. Van Dam said doesn't match at Bound for Glory either. He said Hulk Hogan told him he can wrestle anyone he chooses. And, well, looks like he's choosing Zema Ion, and looks like we're going to have Van Dam and Zema Ion for the X Division title at Bound for Glory.
Which I know will make Omega happy. And actually, this makes me pretty happy, too, because it should be a decent match.
If somebody's going to get a decent match out of Zema Ion, it could be Rob Van Dam.
So, Mace, thoughts?
Indifferent. I'm sorry, I'm not a Zema Ion fan, so the second he walked out on screen, I'm like, Oh, look, football.
Yeah, Tennessee is trying to kick a field goal with, like, 4 seconds left.
So, can they make it? Will they hit the field goal? Because they just showed a replay of a kick that, well, bounced off the post and in earlier.
Tennessee doesn't have the best kicker, folks. Just saying. Okay. And Ben Roethlisberger looks like he's about to shit his pants. It's kind of hilarious. So we're going to pause the Impact review because they're getting ready to snap the ball.
We're going to have play-by-play, live play-by-play right now. It's, you know, 4 seconds ago in the Titans-Steelers game. 40-yard field goal attempt.
Son of a bitch, somebody called a timeout. I think.
Yeah, they're trying to freeze the kicker. We all know this works. It's a strategy that has always worked 100 times out of 100. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. It works all the time.
Oh, and there's number 6 who missed the field goal. Who's going, fuck, if this guy makes it, I am so dead.
But this will be considered a big upset because Tennessee is, I think, we were talking about this last night. They're not a great team.
They're not a great team, but they're tied. But neither are the Steelers.
The Steelers, yeah, they're kind of surprising. But again, these two teams know each other pretty well. They face each other just about every year, so you see them waiting. Are we gonna win?
Oh, and Tennessee kicks a field goal to win the game. Wow!
You want to hear something really funny?
What?
I picked them to win.
I picked Pittsburgh to win, but I still got it right because of the point spread.
No, you didn't. Tennessee got the points.
I don't know how it works.
The underdog always gets the points.
Oh, well, fuck.
So that's one correct for Mace.
That's one correct for Mace.
Yahoo users, you lie! Actually, nobody expected Tennessee to win except for Mace, so go him. He's smarter than all of us.
He really is. Especially when it comes to this football thing.
I didn't even... I just sort of thought, I'll pick Tennessee.
I know.
Seriously, my shit is random as fuck.
But it's working. It's working for you.
You know what? You're awesome enough that you beat Scott Barry.
Which they gave him shit last night for.
Awesome.
Did they? I have to go and check out the archives now.
Yeah, go listen.
I made sure they gave him shit for you.
Nice.
Sweet.
Anyway, so back to Impact.
Yeah, back to Impact now that football's over. In the back, Hogan and Sting are discussing Bully Ray when Ray walks in on Hogan pretty much bashing him. He asks Sting if they're ready for their match, and Hogan tells Ray that he doesn't trust him. And Ray asks what he's ever done that Hogan never did. They argue, and Sting pretty much gets pissed and tells them both to shut the hell up because they have to get on the same page tonight. Ray says he won't let them down, and Sting says he better not. After commercial break, we come back to more boobies with talking to Taryn Terrell. When Tara walks up with a piece of paper, it's a media list of all the things she's going to do when, please God, she wins that title on Sunday. and yeah, including a green room for her Hollywood boyfriend.
Who we will see Sunday, most likely, maybe?
Maybe.
That's what they said. He's going to be there. So we may get a clue of who her Hollywood boyfriend is. Everyone's speculating, it's Joey Ryan, but I don't think so.
He'll be there Sunday getting his ass handed to him by Al Snow.
But we'll get into that later on the show. But, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, Brooke reminds Tara she hasn't won the title yet. She tears it in half, and Tara storms off saying that Kim and Chloe were so right about Brooke.
I love Tara. She's dropping, like, Hollywood celebs' names. It's like, it's funny. She's playing this character really well right now.
Yeah, because like, normally I wouldn't approve of a Kardashians reference, but this so worked.
Because she's used Stacey, and she's used Tori, and she used Stacey and George a couple weeks ago. She used Tori last week, and now she's up to Kim and Chloe, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, here's something just... Yeah, follow me on this. If you really want to overplay this whole Tara's Hollywood boyfriend thing, you don't make it anybody really noteworthy. Like, you get, like, a Gilbert Gottfried or something.
Exactly. You got to go complete comedy with this. You go D-list celebrity.
Yeah.
Complete D-list celebrity, and, you know, and then everybody's going, this is her boyfriend? What?
Which I'm sure they're going to do.
Which would be great.
Because they can't afford anybody else.
No, they really can't.
Unless it's Shaq. Which it could be Shaq. You never know. I mean,
that would be...
That means we'd have Shaq acting and... Oh my god, no, you don't want that.
I know, but just... They already got him to appear once, which means they can get him again. So... After the commercial break, which, I'm sorry, I don't remember what they did on the commercial break.
Boobs.
More boobs? Okay.
Probably.
I think when in doubt, tonight's commercial break stuff was just boobs.
Yeah, this was when they went into the dark because of Sting, so I think this was when they were showing her in the dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was showing her in shadow, and she literally walks right up to the camera, which goes... This just goes to show how short she is. It goes to just below her chin line, is the bottom of the camera. So she gets on her tiptoes so her tits could be in the frame.
Yeah. Real classy right there.
Yeah.
But speaking of class and charm, up next is your World Tag Team Champions of the World, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, facing the Icon Sting and the man with the fire-breathing Twitter machine, Calfzilla Bully Ray. In a pretty decent match. It's pretty competitive.
I enjoyed this match. Bully and Sting, they showed they can work together. But at the end of the day, we saw Sting, you know, stop Bully Ray after they shook hands and told him to get the tables.
He did. We got a D-Von reference.
We got a D-Von reference. Yeah, we did. And Bully actually, for once in his life, actually got a table.
Yeah, he actually got the table. They set up in the ring, and, well, sadly, Christopher Daniels went through said table via a powerbomb.
But, this just made for the victory. For the World Tag Team Champions of the World, they beat a future Hall of Famer and a multi-time tag team champion.
Oh, I know. You know what? A win is a win. I'm not going to discount it, but I still say it was an unjust and unfair move, especially 4 or 5 days before the pay-per-view. The match should be canceled. Hashtag Daniels Kaz 2012. Apple teenies for every house.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was a fun match. It really was.
It was. It was a good match. It was very entertaining to watch. So
and the table spot was perfect. It added that, okay, they're ready for the fight on Sunday against Aces and Eights.
I looked up and I was like, huh? Did he just say what I think he just said? He did! Well done. Well played. So, Mace, thoughts?
Good. It was a good match. Good setup for the weekend, and Why do you put your world tag team champions of the world in a match only a few days out, and yet your opponents only have singles matches? Conspiracy!
I smell the conspiracy out there.
They're biased against them, I'm telling you.
Daniel just said
it. Right.
Yeah, he is. Following this match, we had a video on Austin Aries and Jeff Hardy, and I spoke to Jeff Hardy earlier today, and he talked about giving himself and his creatures what they deserve, and that's the TNA Championship. And then he will be the best wrestler on planet Earth.
Ripping off CM Punk much? First he rips off The Undertaker, and then he rips off CM Punk.
But he called it Planet Earth. He didn't use the word world. It's not...
Oh, come on! It's the same damn thing!
Yeah, it is. Definitely can't defend that. I tried, but you really can't.
Anyway, they then hyped the match that I'm kind of looking forward to between Samoa Joe and Magnus, in which Magnus has requested that they don't fight until the pay-per-view, which makes perfect sense. He says that Joe isn't TV. He throws around a bunch of insults. Joe throws some snarky comments back and calls Magnus a coward. And he says that just wait for Bound for Glory and then walks away. They also showed a package for the Al Snow match with Joey Ryan, which not necessarily looking forward to seeing Joey Ryan, but yay for Al Snow wrestling again.
Yeah, back to the Magnus thing. It's all about Joe says Magnus is jealous, and well, Magnus says Joe doesn't get too high behind politics this Sunday. Joe wants the match tonight, but you know, Magnus, he's a businessman. He's gonna wait.
Yeah. And so, well, I mean, it's a good call.
People have to pay to see Magnus. Which I like the whole idea of, you have to pay to see me. You know, yes. If you're gonna be arrogant, push it all the way.
Yeah. And Magnus is, I'm starting to like the way they're using Magnus now. It's working for me.
He's embracing the cocky, smarmy heel very well.
He is. That's good. They need someone like him on the roster.
I mean, one thing you can't complain about TNA is that their character development has gotten much better.
It has. And that has a lot to do with the new people in charge of creative.
It does. So, yay, creative! It's, you know, they actually don't have upheaval like some other companies.
Which we'll get into later in the show.
Yes, which we will discuss later in the show. But after this, we had more boobies in the fact that we had Gail Kim versus Miss Tessmacher in a non-title match. It was what it was.
It is what it is. It was what it was. It was a match. They think that Tessmacher is a good baby face when it comes to, you know, trying to make the comeback. I don't buy her offense. I really don't. There's something about it I just don't buy.
She's good for what they're kind of using her for, but other than that, that's about it. I haven't been impressed with her so far. So I hope to God on Sunday they put the belt on Tara.
I will say this, she has gotten better as the weeks go by, not tremendously better, but you do see some improvements, and she's working with better wrestlers each week with Gail Kim and Tara. She's not working Madison Rayne. She's working people who can go, and that's helping her along.
Right. I mean, she has improved as far as her wrestling goes, definitely. I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, it's, and working with the likes of Gail and Tara, they definitely help her through the match.
She's better. She's in a better position than she was in June.
Yes.
She's made strides since then, which is good. That's what you want.
But moving on from the boobies, We had Tara do a run-in. She went for the Widow Peak, but Testmacher blocked it and was able to hit the Test Shocker on Tara. After this...
That's a terrible finishing move, by the way. I'm just pointing that out.
Yeah, it is. But after this, we go in the back where Bobby Roode cuts a pretty excellent promo about Bound for Glory. He says he's been in Jeff Hardy's shoes. He knows what it's like to go for the title after winning for the Bound for Glory series. And he knows where Hardy is 3 days before the pay-per-view. Which I don't think it's 4 days technically, but...
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3.
Okay. I count Thursday, but okay.
Don't argue with what they say.
No, I don't argue with what Christopher Daniels says. I can argue with Bobby Roode.
Okay, whatever. I have no defense.
Anyway, James Storm walks up and yells at him for interfering in his match. Basically, he says he hopes he's ready to die because he's going to have to kill him. He's going to have to kill Storm to stop him. They then get into it. They start slapping each other around. And conveniently, King Mo shows up and stops them from killing each other.
Was he stalking the locker room or something? Was he stalking their locker room or something? I don't know.
I guess.
Maybe. Either way, he was there to break it up, and they're going to fight this Sunday.
Yep, and they were told to save it for Sunday, so.
This brought up our main event, Bobby Roode and Jeff Hardy.
By the way, I'd just like to point this out. I know I did in the production chat. But it's kind of amazing how after watching 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of Impact goes by.
Went by like
so
that.
Quickly.
Went by like that. It really is kind of quick. But we had a main event. They gave him a lot of time. Good match between the two. Wouldn't mind seeing this match again. It was really good. The finish saw Bobby Roode hitting a low blow on Mr. Hardy.
Yeah, and then this is where it got interesting.
Yes, it did.
After Hardy picked up the win, Bobby Roode goes out and grabs a steel chair. The referee pulls it away from him, and Hardy then hits the Twist of Fate on Roode. This prompts Austin Aries to walk out, and he says he's not about to let Jeff Hardy end the night in his ring. And he's also not going to say what he's been told to say, which is written on a piece of TNA Impact Wrestling letterhead. He crumples it up and throws it away, saying that's what he thinks of it. AKA this crap. And, then proceeds to cut at least in my opinion, pretty brilliant promo saying, you know, how he's supposed to be jealous of Jeff Hardy. Well, he's not jealous of Hardy's rap sheet. That he's half crippled and can barely play with his daughter.
Low blows. Aries says,
huh?
Those were low blows. But effective.
Effective, but yeah, they were low blows. But Aries says the only thing that he's jealous of is the people in TNA catering to Hardy. He says that he's sick and tired of the special treatment that Jeff gets. He understands that he's being set up to fail. And Aries says for 2 months he's been asking for a new entrance and new music, but they're too busy making Jeff Hardy packages. Austin then goes on to say that the bottom line is that he's sick and tired of people catering to Jeff Hardy, and he wants them to cater to him. He says that he might be set up for failure, but that won't happen because he works when he's backed against, or I should say he works best when he's backed against a wall. Aries says that the failure will be Hardy, and until Hardy beats Aries, the only failure Hardy will see is himself in the mirror when he puts on his silly makeup. And the absolutely brilliant retort.
This was the greatest line ever.
From Jeff Hardy was as follows. Hardy goes on to say, and I quote, "My nuts hurt. My neck hurts. And this Sunday he will end Kairi's cocky ass."
Jeff's a master of the words, I tell you. He's a wordsmith. At that point, Aston Ares said it's his ring, and he, you know, could slap the taste out of Hardy's mouth, but he was going to give Hardy a chance, you know, to get the adoration from his fans, and that's what he did. But then he wants Hardy to get out of his ring so he can bask in his own glory. As Hardy was leaving, Austin Aries attacks Jeff Hardy and sets him up and connects with the Brainbuster to end tonight's Impact.
Which was actually a really great closing. Mace, what'd you think?
I feel that the heel turn sort of came out of nowhere, and I'm sort of sitting there going, okay, Aries is suddenly a heel now.
But been teasing
his reasoning is logical.
There's that L word, logical. What?
Yeah. It's like he's making some real good points, and I didn't really notice it until he pointed it out that it seems to be the season or the trend in wrestling at the moment to treat your world champion like shit. You know, here it is. You've got Austin Aries, a great wrestler, one of the best wrestlers in the world, to be honest, as your TNA World Heavyweight Champion. And ever since he got the belt, people have been putting countdown clock after countdown clock on his title reign. And yet the focus has always been on Aces and Eights, on Jeff Hardy, on, you know, everybody but the world champ. So to have Aries turn around and go, I'm sick of this, I want the attention on me, makes a lot of damn sense, and draws some very good parallels between himself and CM Punk.
It does. I was just thinking, God damn, I wish they had done this with Punk, because it would have been so much better.
But in a way, they are.
They are.
Punk's wanting the respect. He's sick of the way that Cena is being touted over him, and he's meant to be the champion. He's meant to be the focus of the company. Same thing in TNA between Aries and Hardy.
Right. But I wish they had gone a little bit different with CM Punk. I wish he had had... I don't know why, but Aries' promo was just like, that's good. It was just very refreshing, and it seemed to fit him perfectly. I don't know why.
It worked. It really did. So that was Impact.
That was Impact. So overall, grades, thoughts on the show?
Like I said before, going in, the way the show was going, okay, it was a decent, you know, go-home show, but the final push by Austin Aries at the end, that sold pay-per-views right there. Maybe sold like 100, but that's, you know, on TNA scale, that's good.
It is good.
I thought it was effective. It was a good way to use to sell a pay-per-view.
Mace, your thoughts?
Yeah, besides the out of nowhere nature of the final 5 minutes, but yeah, decent show. Put on some really good matches. Once again, as I've said many times before, one thing we can never fault TNA on has been their match quality, which has always been up there as the best on television. And they seem to pace the show at such a rate where you feel 2 hours go by like it's 20 minutes, whereas a 3-hour Raw feels like it's going on for 18 lifetimes.
Yeah.
So TNA must be doing something right at the moment.
It was total nonstop action.
Yeah, pretty much. It had a great flow tonight. They had everybody that's going to be on the pay-per-view on the show, with the exception of Joey Ryan and Al Snow, and they just got a little video package, which worked.
Which is perfect, because Joey Ryan doesn't have a contract. He shouldn't be on the show.
Exactly. And, I mean, they put every match on that needed to be on. Everything had a really appropriate amount of time. They didn't focus on any one thing too long, which was great. Like I said... the way the show flowed, I was sitting here watching it, and I wasn't really watching the time, and I looked up, and it's like I looked at the clock and I went, oh shit, Impact starts in 4 minutes, and turned it on, and then looked up again, and it was, you know, almost time for it to go off the air. There were maybe, you know, 20, 30 minutes left on the show, and I was like, holy crap, where did the time go?
I had to message Rock because we've recently started daylight savings here, so we turned everything 1 hour ahead, so my timing's off on just about everything.
Yeah, so it is midnight now, Mace.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the toy store to fix their online ordering. They say 12:01 a.m. ET, which Eastern time, but then their finishing is 11:59 p.m. PT Pacific, so I'm guessing they have no idea how they're running their website at the moment.
Well, that means that they're giving themselves as much time as possible, so they're taking it down at midnight Eastern time, and then
I'm gonna say that they're gonna do midnight Pacific by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So you got 3 more hours. You know.
Yeah, pretty much.
I have no idea. I save $3 on a toy I want, and Omega gets a toy he wants, so it works.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win. But I think we should go to break, Lindsay?
I think we should go to break, and when we come back, we will be talking all about the news of notes of the week. We have our tweet of the week, and of course we have our Bound for Glory predictions, as well as a discussion, actually we have two. Our question of the night, which is, who do you think is the leader of Aces and Eights, and a topic about CM Punk, because, you know, who's not talking about CM Punk these days? So, you are listening to The Rec right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweakedAudio.com. Go buy their headsets because they're awesome, and we will be right back. One more way to get the message across now. I've got to do this alone. One less way, I've got to prove this to you. One less way. Go.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's 4 styles and 6 colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. 4 styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and tweaked natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all-around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Let the boobies hit the floor!
I say you're the expert when it comes to getting the child.
Nothing wrong with me.
But don't worry, we get in trouble, we could use stepping in the man's breast as a flotation device.
It's got to get him. Let the boobies hit the floor. Let the boobies hit the floor. Let the boobies hit the floor.
Why the hell do we not open with that song every week?
Because then that we get repetitive.
This is and you hold the bat to the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, watch you by pwmania.com, and tweakedaudio.com, home of awesome earbuds and headsets. Check them out. Go buy their headphones. If you put in the promo code WILDTALK, you will get a certain percentage off. We can't quote you exactly what it is, but it comes out to be about $7.
Right. Their headphones are $19.95, and it's $12.95 with the code. So it's $7. May set free shipping worldwide, so get it. Buy them. Get tweaked. Get their headphones right now.
Actually, the ones I want are way more than $19.95. Of course, I want the most expensive ones I own because that's how I work.
But you still get $7 off no matter what you do.
I know, and I'm thinking about it severely because my headphones actually died today. So, but anyway, we have quite a bit of news and notes surrounding the week. So, do we want to start with the news, or do we want to do our tweet of the week?
Let's do our tweet of the week.
All right, let's do tweet of the week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So who wants to go first?
Mace can go first this week if he would like.
Can I?
Yes,
can I
can.
Really?
You can.
Because I've just been researching for this one, and I was originally going to try and find our usual, you know, CM Punk says something funny, but then I sort of stumbled somehow into AJ Lee's Twitter and found a fucking gold mine.
God damn you, that's their mine too. Damn you, Mace.
Like, I'm talking, we're going back into September with some of these things,
okay.
But they're so hilarious that I reckon they still need to be shared,
okay.
No matter how old they are.
Okay.
Well, go for it.
We'll start it off, like, we'll work from oldest to the newest. At least what I found, anyway. The first one reads, Hey, CM Punk, are you sure you want to expose details of our personal life? I can play that game too. Hashtag someone's a cuddler.
Nice.
Next one is, it's not a Wednesday morning unless I'm drooling on myself in front of strangers.
Yep, we've used that one before.
Lindsay used that one last week.
Live event today in St. Joseph. Last week I locked Justin Roberts in a broom closet just so I could announce the first half of the show. skipping through airport security is frowned upon. Apparently I'm so delirious there's a good chance that didn't happen.
We used that one last week.
Yeah, we did.
Again, this probably, like, you probably used a lot of these last week. Unfortunately, I wasn't here for that. She does a retweet from someone, Alex_Navarro. I don't want to blow anyone's mind here, but AJ is an extremely tiny person, like pocket-sized. She replies, fun-sized. I'm fun-sized.
Yeah,
damn
we used,
right.
I used that one last week. This is what happens when you miss a show, mate.
I know. I'm like so far behind on shit. Goddamn, I ever do anything on a Friday. Believe me, you were so close not having me this week. I'll explain why after. Again, another one from Ross Zombie. Newer hashtag Dragon Ball AJ, complete with a picture. Which I saw the picture. It's absolutely hilarious.
It is. We showed that to Omega last week.
Yeah, the Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan, it's Super Saiyan 3, AJ. Let's get all technical here while we can. and the last two I've got, lady saw me plucking my dog's blonde chihuahua fur out of my clothes and asked, oh, do you have a dog? I said, no, this is how I amuse myself.
Nice.
That's the type of answer I'd give.
Okay. I was going to say, then, we need to send you the link of her interview with Arda Ocal for the WWE 13.
Please do. Because unfortunately, I no longer have contacts with THQ here in Australia as they are shutting their studio down this month.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so I don't get any of this WWE stuff anymore because, well, they don't have availability down here at the moment. It's all been handled by a different distribution company. It's like, fuck off.
And then I'll send you the link to the Heyman one, too, because the Heyman interview with Arda Ocal is fucking hilarious.
All right. Well, Rob can link me when he finds them.
We'll do it after the show. We'll do it after the show. We have to scroll back and chat with me. We were sharing links earlier.
And the final AJ Lee tweet that I found for this week, or playing catch up, walked out of restroom with my fly open. I need to stop making fun of other people. Hashtag instant karma.
Here's mine from her for this week. I'm currently in the ring, not listening to a damn word CM Punk is saying, and then she posts a picture of CM Punk talking in the ring, which...
That was the one that led me to switch Twitters, actually.
Did it?
Yeah, I saw that, and I'm like, let's take a look at AJ stuff. Funny.
And then CM Punk replied, why Raw isn't good unless I'm in every segment, and then Lindsay tweeted something to Punk about that. Can't remember what she said, though.
I said, no, Raw isn't good unless the Anger Buddies are in every segment. And then there were some hashtags involved.
Yes. And then she also said, just saw I hit over 500,000 followers. 500,000 people following a chick who currently owns 4 different Pikachu t-shirts. That's on you.
That's awesome.
And from CM Punk that he just tweeted out a few minutes ago, he's quoting, I guess, someone who sent him a tweet. It's sad to see a WWE champion given all his scripted wins. And his response was, this is the level of intelligence we are dealing with.
Oh, I like the one where he said he weeps for the future. That was a good one.
Yeah, those are the tweets I pulled up.
Okay, well, mine are actually from Portia Perez, who, if you don't know her, she works on the indies. I believe she's in WSU. She's an awesome wrestler. I kind of have a girl crush on her. So check her out. She's amazing. But she says, on Thanksgiving Day, I'd like to give thanks for Super Nintendo, my awesome wrestling skills, and the 80s ballads to which I am currently working out to. And then she follows up with, sometimes I don't like wrestling because I can't eat nachos. One day I won't wrestle anymore and I'll eat all the nachos in the world.
And one other one I just saw from Paul Heyman tonight. The Yankees are in extra innings again? Damn, Major League Baseball has some really good writers.
I love Paul Heyman right now. He's, by the way, it, I know we just mentioned it, but go on YouTube and seriously watch his interview with Arda Ocal. It's fucking hilarious. Hey, I don't know why we don't get this Heyman, but we should. Just
all of his interviews promoting this. He apparently, we'll transition a little bit of news here. He's the creative rabbi for WWE 13.
He is.
He's been behind. He's the one writing the storylines for the game. He redid the, you know, Attitude Era storylines. He wrote them for the game. He wrote a lot of the WWE Universe storylines. I guess all of them, actually. So
he said all of them.
Yeah, he wrote them all. So you have Paul Heyman influence in WWE 13.
To which I told Rock, I really need to think about getting this game. And I don't even have a system. I'm not a gamer, but it's like I really kind of want to try this game. So even if I rent it, I still want to kind of play it, just because it looks and sounds amazing.
And the more details you hear about the game, I believe Ace can back me up. They have a creative show option back, creative pay-per-view option back.
Indeed, there is the new Universe 3.0 mode that they've been pushing very heavily in the last couple of days. There's actually a trailer for it out via the WWE Games and quite possibly THQ accounts on Twitter. YouTube, sorry. There's Create a Show where you can run it either as a televised event or even a live event. You can create your own live events, put up whatever belts are done on the show. You can also move around current shows, so if you want to move SmackDown back to Thursday night, you can do that and fuck off Superstars completely. You want to make Saturday night's main event for a Saturday? By all means, you can do it. If you want to go back to the days of the late 90s where you had pay-per-views like Rock Bottom and D-Generation X, there's all the equipment needed to rebuild those pay-per-views from scratch. Nice. As well as lots and lots of belt options. I think it's just about every single belt that has been ever devised by the WWE, plus Zack Ryder's in-net title is also in the mode, and of course Create a Belt option also returns for the first time in this year's game, which means you'll be able to recreate some of the old classic titles from the past.
And they even give you the choice to put the name of the belt where they, you know, they can announce the belt name. They have different predetermined names for the belts.
Yes, there's a If you look around, I did find somewhere, I think it was somewhere on Facebook, they had a list of what names can be used for these belts, and it's a very extensive list going back many, many years into WWE history, so.
I believe I saw WCCW in there. You have the NWO, ECW, you got everything you could possibly think of for a belt name, and that's kind of awesome.
I just found the list, like, to give you an idea, they automatically have things like All-Star, Atlantic, AWA, Classic, Cruiserweight, Deep South, Divas, ECW, European, Extreme, FCW, Grand Prix, Impact.
Ooh.
Impact.
They slid that one in there.
International, Internet, Junior, Light Heavyweight, Lucha, Lucha Libre, Martial Arts. Middleweight, Million Dollar, Mixed, NWO, NXT, Non-Stop. Prestigious.
Heyman's taking some shots.
Prestigious, Pro Wrestling Professional, Rated R, Super Heavyweight, Superstars, Tag Team, Television, and yes, by the looks of this, Yes. Total, nonstop, and action are three separate words in this belt, Creator Mode.
And you probably can't put names together.
Yes, Universal, WCW, WCCW, Welterweight, WWE, Ukes, Zone. There's easily five, 10, 15, 20, 92 different combinations.
Wow.
Well, 92 words that you can put in.
Make all the names you want. You can make yourself the total nonstop action champion.
Huh. Yeah, you can make yourself the Impact Wrestling champion if you want.
Hmm.
Lucha Libre USA?
Huh.
But they don't have Canadian All-Pro.
Oh,
no Canadian, no All-Pro, unfortunately.
Shucks.
Oh, what a pity.
Gosh darn it, I'm not going to buy this game now. They don't have Canadian All-Pro in there. Gosh darn it.
I'm quite sure this is a list of... Like, they don't have... No, I'm sorry. They don't have a list of countries in this belt, like, picture that I've found. But there's a chance that could be a part of the option.
It might be a DLC.
And oh boy, are they DLCing the shit out of this game.
They really are. But isn't there a deal like for $20 you get everything, at least for the Xbox?
Yeah, $20 and you get, that's your season pass for the year, which includes at least three DLC packs.
And it's like 20-something characters?
Yeah, something like that. It's one thing I buy every year. I always buy the WWE season pass because it's a lot cheaper than buying everything fucking separately.
Seriously, it is. Like, okay, it's an extra $20. You don't have to buy it right away because everything's not out right away. So, pay $6 for the game.
No, but day one, once the game comes out, usually depending on your region, and how often your consoles network provider or whatever decides to update their site, they usually have it on release day or the next update cycle, where you'll be able to purchase the full season DLC straight away.
Which is good.
Yeah. Unless the game breaks street date and then you sit there and you go, where the fuck is the fucker?
God damn it. But they have a lot of people in this game.
Which is awesome. By the way, we have an honorable mention for Tweet of the Week.
We do.
From Kane Kittens. At Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward, at The Mace Thing, at WTR, _rack. Tonight on the rack, hashtag get Lynn's a system, hashtag WWE13, hashtag get Mace to US, hashtag donation, hashtag the World High Team Champions of the World.
Actually, the hashtag is WTTCOTW. There's no T in the beginning.
Well, that's what he put in there. I'm reading it.
I know, I'm just correcting him.
Don't correct.
Why? It's on their, you know, it was on their gear at one point. It's on their shirts.
That's how they forgot to ask them about the shirts.
He mentioned it. He pimped it.
Okay.
He pimped it, you know, to buy their shirts and go to his website, face Daniels, ChristopherDaniels.com, something like that.
Okay. Just out of concern.
I'll double check his website right now. But yeah, they brought a lot of, people into this game, man. It's like Gangrel. I know it was in a game, which is kind of cool.
Once again, Google Foo. Google Foo, activate.
Yeah. It's like the Godfather was in there, which is kind of cool. But I think he was already in
there. They actually did release a full list of the characters, as I'm trying to look.
I can't remember it off the top of my head. That's the thing. We read it once, and I can't remember it.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. Three different packs will be available.
Right.
There will be two fan access exclusives. So, in other words, if you purchase the season pass, which they call their fan access, you will get two exclusive superstars straight out the gate, Diamond Dallas Page and Goldust.
Nice.
the first pack, which we call the Attitude Era Superstars Pact, which will be out on October 30th, so straight out the door, you will get Rikishi, Scotty Too Hotty, Grandmaster Sexay, Gangrel, and Val Venus, as well as an accelerator booster enabling players to unlock all in-game items, as well as individual customization options and superstar attributes. Basically, oh my god, cheat packs unlock everything. Which is one of the main reasons why I buy the fucking thing every year. I'm sorry, most times I don't play through the entire story mode in every way to unlock their goddamn shit, so fine, here, have a couple of bucks. Unlock it for me. Second group content, which will be the WWE Superstars Pack, due out in December 2012, probably somewhere around Christmas.
It says
available.
It says the one I found, December 30th, it says.
Well, there you go, after Christmas. Available free of charge will be the Undertaker's Ministry of Darkness attire, so you won't have to pay for that one.
This we talked about this. It has Undertaker and has nipple rings.
Yeah, scary.
yeah.
And the superstars that you will be getting in this pack are Tensai, Ryback, Drew McIntyre, Yoshitatsu, AJ Lee, and Natalya. It also comes with a championship title match, title pack, with 10 new championships from WWE, WCW, ECW, and the AWA, which includes the WWE John Cena US title belt, that oh my god horrible thing with the spinner.
Spin! Hey, look, this thing spins.
Yay. The old school, and thank Christ, WCW Cruiserweight Championship.
Yes.
WCW World Tag Team Titles. Which version? We have no idea. WCW Hardcore Championship. The NWO Spray Painted World Heavyweight Championship. The, oh my god, so classic, I wish they bring it back, the WCW United States Championship. ECW Classic World Heavyweight Championship, Television Championship, and Tag Team Titles, and the Classic AWA World Heavyweight Championship.
Nice.
What I'm finding kind of cool in the third pack is there's moves. They give you moves.
Yeah,
in the third
yes.
pack.
I was about to get to that as well. Number three, the You're Welcome in Five Languages pack.
that's a great title.
That's actually a really, really good title. Which is due out sometime in January 2013.
Yes.
First off, available free of charge will be Layla.
Yay!
I didn't really like she came so cheap. But I'm Ching. and the characters you will get in this pack... Damian Sandow, you're welcome. Antonio Cesaro, Brian Pillman, Chainsaw Charlie, and the number one request that I swear to God, when this game's roster dropped, everybody was going apeshit, why aren't these guys in there? You finally get the fucking Usos. So there you go, all you internet, oh my god, stream it everything because you don't get the guys straight away. You've got the fucking Usos, you can be happy now, but you got to wait till January 13 and pay extra for them.
But
and then you'll never
Usos.
Use them, they'll sit on the roster just like they do in the back and never get used.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But mind you, as Rock said, the biggest thing about this one is you are getting a bunch of moves. Brock Lesnar's Kimura Lock, the Chris Jericho Lion Salt, Triangle Drop Kick, the Heart Lock, Top Rope Super German Suplex.
That's going to probably be kind of cool, the Top Rope German Suplex.
Yeah. Mind you, these are just what they're called. Some of these are combination moves by the sounds of it.
Right.
Because you get a Super Kick Pedigree combo.
That's probably a tag team finisher.
Yeah, Delayed Vertical Suplex Power Slam. You get the Omega Driver. I didn't realize Omega had his own move.
I did not know this, but apparently he does. He's that big.
We're gonna have to give him the question for Sunday. What is the Omega Driver?
Yes. You heard it here, folks, for spoilers on what Omega's quick hits question will be.
Now if Omega's listening...
Omega is listening, you've got till Sunday to prepare.
Yeah. But I like the next one. I like the next move they have on there.
The airplane spin. Yay.
I saw an awesome wrestling meme the other day that said, whoever named that move an airplane spin clearly has never seen a helicopter.
So true. Oh, and the next one is an oh my god, ouchie ouchies. Top rope brain buster. That's going to be ouchies. Then we have a flapjack slash cutter combo.
I wonder what that move is. I can't put my finger on what the flapjack cutter combo could be. Any idea?
I wonder.
What else we got? Small package driver, sleeper suplex, the Brock lock, spinning double leg takedown, the Fujiwara armbar, pin up strong.
I guess that's a Natty and
Natty, yes.
Either a Natty move or a Beth move or their third double team move.
Probably. Lifting single underhook DDT. No, the second I read that one, I'm like, hold on, how would you do that? Oh, okay, yep, I've worked it out.
Yeah, you just, it takes a second.
I still work out in about a few seconds. It's all good.
It takes a second. Okay, how do you do that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the final two are corner back elbow strikes and a half Nelson backbreaker.
I don't know why corner back whatever.
Corner back elbow strikes, Kevin Nash.
Yeah, I know what it's for. I'm just surprised. It's like you have to download that.
Well, the one that actually gets me is the half Nelson backbreaker.
I don't think that's ever been. That's
That's a Jay Lethal move.
Is it?
Yeah, you put him in the full Nelson, lift him up, and you drop him down on one knee.
Okay.
It was either the Jay Lethal or it could be Austin Aries that used to use that.
I think. I don't think Jay Lethal did it for with the half Nelson. I don't think I thought his was more of a front version. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Either way,
it's a cool move.
But yeah, so as usual, you know, you get a lot of content from the guys at THQ, and that's not the only thing too. You got to realize that they have the community creator. And for those of you that haven't jumped on board with these games or haven't done so in a long time, the things that you used to go to places like caws.ws and get these gigantic fucking lists of how to create somebody, you can just go and download them. Most of these guys now upload their stuff onto the THQ's community servers for you to download. And some of these creations are damn near perfect, complete with move sets and entrances at times. So not only does the content, you know, make it worth the price with what you're buying from THQ, the community created content also helps extend the life of the game as well.
One thing I like about the community creation is I like going in and see what the stories they get people create. I like downloading to see what kind of, you know, stories they get to. And there's been some people that put some real good detail, long stories in their in the community creation, which are really fantastic.
That again, that'll be a feature that will be interesting to see what people come up with once again. But also in Universe 3.0 is branching storylines. And storylines are always constantly changing, or you can go back and reset a certain segment. And if you didn't like the decision that you picked, you can go back to where you made that decision and pick a different option. So it's almost like No Mercy story mode.
Which is one,
you know,
of those...
one thing that fans have been clamoring for fucking years.
Let's go back and play No Mercy.
Yeah.
It was No Mercy in the WCW versus the NWO or something, whatever the WCW equivalent was.
Yeah, so believe me, if you haven't gone and pre-ordered this game, do so. Not only do you get the Mike Tyson DLC, but here's a good hint. The Stone Cold Steve Austin edition isn't that much more expensive and you get extra shit with it.
Yes, we recommend getting WWE 13.
And highly.
And eventually, me and Maze, and if Lindsay gets it, we'll put together a little show where we review the game. Like we did last year.
Yes, I might even do a nice little thing where I hook my television up to the computer, and I might even stream a couple of nights of Universe Mode.
That'd be awesome. And oh yeah, by the way, Omega isn't listening.
Why, you asked?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know he got lost in Red Dwarf a few hours ago. And yesterday I lost him to the new Jeff Dunham special.
Ah, okay. Well, he wasn't listening, so I told him to listen to the archive for his question.
You shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I know, right. We should... Oh.
Let's see if he actually does it.
Yeah, he won't. He's too...
He might be busy. He's actually been doing videos lately.
I know.
So let's not stop him.
I know.
Yeah, let's not interrupt.
And here we go. YouTube.com/TJOmega.
Yes.
Yes,
and
where he recently... Where he recently put up a video for the Kamarada Forze Buzzan Sword. So, you know, go watch his videos, help him get stuff from his sponsors. Because he likes free toys.
He does. But anyway, moving on from WWE 13, as awesome as it's going to be, and of course as awesome as Paul Heyman is, we move to something not so awesome. Seems that, well, Sonny got arrested yet again for a fifth, and that's not a mistake, a fifth time in what, 2 months?
Fifth time in 4 weeks.
That's impressive.
And this time she ain't getting out.
Nope. She is now sitting in jail. They have given her a bond. However, she has to pay the full $100K in cash. No bondsman. No nothing. So, unless somebody's going to give her that much money, her ass be sitting in jail until she gets out.
Yeah. She wanted to go back and get her phone and stuff while he was not there. And, well, she broke in, and, well, that's not the smartest thing in the book to do, and now she's back in jail after only being arrested a couple hours earlier, 12 hours earlier, for, you know, violating the restraining order, and now she's sitting in jail waiting. She needs help.
She does need help. Well, I thought she had, like, court-ordered rehab or something like that.
Which she just got out of.
Oh, that's just stupid.
4 weeks ago, she was sent to rehab. That saved her ass from going to jail. She gets out of jail, drinks, and... yeah. Breaks restraining orders. Not the smartest cookie in the jar right now is one Tammy Sitch.
Yeah, so...
Dumb bitch, let her rot.
But if you want to hear her steamy details of all the people she's banged, check out Kayfabe Commentary's YouTube DVD featuring Sunny. Available now.
It's in which Jaeger's own Massive Q gets a question in.
Yes, he does.
Which reminds me, I've still got to see if the big boss is coming down to Melbourne this weekend.
I think he is.
He never said anything on Twitter. I'll have to tweet something out to him.
Brock, didn't he say something, like, after the show that he was going to be down there?
I don't know. I was busy trying to find audio.
Oh.
I was finding his question for him. I couldn't hear the conversation.
I think he said he was, but I can't 100% confirm that.
That's all right. It takes 10 seconds to tweet.
Yes.
Okay.
Tweet him at Massive Q, by the way. He's one of the panelists on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show. Heard live every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Dog Radio Network.
Otherwise known as My Other Persona.
Yes.
Yes. Mace, the Melbourne version.
Yeah. He's my representative for New South Wales. It's all good.
Also not awesome, and we are not going to get into detail about this. We are not going to joke about it, but there is more news about someone's sex tape. And basically... it got confirmed pretty much what we all knew all along, which is Bubba the Love Sponge is a massive douche. He is the one that is suspected for leaking the tape and subjecting us all to it.
Actually, It's a disgruntled former employee of Bubba the Love Sponge when he left Sirius Radio is the person who leaked the tape for revenge.
How did they get it?
Bubba, I don't know. Bubba's not out of the woods here because, well, he was busy showing it off. So the dude knew he had it. There will be no charges filed. Police have thrown that out as of today. But yeah, the report coming out today, that was a former employee of the Bubba the Love Sponge show when they were at Sirius Radio, which they're not. They're back on terrestrial radio. So that's the situation as it stands today.
Still, he's proved to be a douche because apparently at the end of the tape, he talks to his then-wife, now ex-wife, and says, if we ever want to retire, all we have to do is sell this.
Yes. And from what I've heard today is Hogan knows more than he's letting on about who put out the tape, and he's trying to not bash Bubba, even though I would if I were him.
Oh, if I were him, I would be furious. I would be suing Bubba. I don't care if he didn't release it or not. He still acquired it without Hogan's knowledge and still had it and was showing it without Hogan's consent.
Right, and Bubba...
Couldn't Bubba be done on... Oh, shit. Trying to think of the law off the top of my head. It's like some sort of conspiracy law, like conspiracy to blackmail or something like that.
Potentially, yeah.
Because there is video evidence of Bubba saying, if we ever wanted to retire, all we have to do is release this tape, which in itself is a threat of blackmail.
But I think here's what I heard today is that that's only part of the quote. There's more to the quote. The TMZ only put out half the quote.
You know what? It's enough.
It's enough.
It's enough for a lawsuit.
I think he said, but we would never do it. Something to that effect. I think that's more of the quote.
That doesn't matter. The fact that he said it is, and the fact that it has come out.
Oh, I know.
Means that, yeah.
I know. I'm just putting out the facts that I've heard today.
Well, there's more. It's the fact that he says that, but then he was supposedly showing it off.
Yeah, that doesn't help his cause. If an employee knew about it, like, okay. And the reason why Hogan can't sue or anything is because he's known about a tape. If he did this 6 months ago and filed it, that would be one thing. But apparently it's been out for... He's known for at least 6 months. Because that's when the rumors came out in, like, March or something. That originally came out. But there's also reports that he's known for years that there's been a tape. So...
And he did nothing about it until now.
Until now. So that's why there's no... going to be anything in the courts about it.
Fabulous. But anyway, so hopefully this will now go away and die down and we won't have to hear about it anymore, but somehow I doubt it.
Once Bubba speaks, that'll be the end of it, until he opens his mouth about it, which he hasn't so far, so.
Yeah. But, we're going to save CM Punk for last, because there's actually a little something I want to rant on.
What's that, Lindsay?
Well, it seems the Black Hole of Suck extended to Saturday in somebody having their MMA debut. And before I completely go off on this and make an ass out of myself, I'd just like to say that I cannot fault Batista for pursuing a dream and making it into MMA and getting a televised fight. I think that's incredibly awesome that he did that, and bravo to him for making the transition. I know it was in doubt for a while, but that being said, that was the worst fucking MMA fight I have ever seen in my life. That wasn't a fight. I'm sorry. I know everybody is saying it was. It wasn't. The two were on the side of the cage having a conversation for like 30 seconds.
Call moves. Let's call the moves right here. Come on. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's what it felt like. He was trying to call the match in the middle of the ring. At one point, Butterball, his opponent, was waving to the crowd. And it wasn't a fight. And granted, I am not a UFC aficionado, but I have seen enough UFC fights and Bellator fights to know the difference between a real fight and a not real fight. And I'm sorry, that was a joke. especially the finish of the match, which is the ref calls it because of Batista making excessive strikes and his opponent didn't hit back.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a work. How about that? Felt like a work.
And, I mean, I'm sitting there watching it going, I want the time back that I spent watching it. Basically, the time for the national anthems and the introduction of the fighters took longer than the fight.
By the way, that was a horrible rendition of the national anthem.
It was alright.
I thought it was...
It didn't fit, because it's like you have this a cappella girl group singing the national anthem.
Yeah, it just seemed odd.
The whole thing was weird, the whole thing was off, and it just was not good.
No, not really.
And, you know, Batista, it kind of made Batista look like a ginormous douche, honestly.
And the best was the announcers putting over, oh, he turned down UFC, he turned down Strikeforce because he wanted to do this fight with this organization. Because he couldn't make it in UFC or Strikeforce or at Bellator or wherever. Just, yeah.
I'm sorry, if he went to Bellator, Strikeforce, or UFC, especially UFC, he would get his ass handed to him.
And he seriously would. And I should let you rant on that. He's no longer shiny.
He is no longer shiny, even though he's the brass body. Yes, that's what he's calling himself, folks. He is Dave the Brass Body Batista, even though he's really more of a bronze color. He's no longer shiny. Apparently, he didn't get Vince's baby oil girls when he left.
Yeah, he didn't. But, so yeah, Batista sucked in MMA, but he won, and he might fight again.
I wish him a better second fight.
With an opponent, that seems credible. Even though this guy had 20-something wins and 20-something losses. Yeah, get a credible opponent.
Yeah, a record like that where it's like 20 losses, 22 wins, and 4 draws.
And the guy has to be in shape, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he was endorsed by Fitness Gym and he had the biggest jelly roll / muffin top I've ever seen in my life didn't help any. I'm sitting here looking at.
Can we call this one what it was? It was a brawl in the trailer park.
Yes.
That's all this was. This just reminds me of like two people fighting over the last can of beer in a trailer park.
Yes, but it was also suggested, Mace, that we do this for a future edition of the Riffs.
I think we should.
I suppose we could. It's one thing to riff wrestling, it's another to riff MMA.
But it's like 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, we can give it a go. I know we're low on content.
We are low on content.
It seems like the only time I get asked, hey, are we doing riffs, is when somebody can't show up.
Yeah, that's, well, I'm sorry, Tuesday, I forgot my headset.
It wasn't
so.
Just you.
Okay.
And she was the one who asked, anyway.
Anyway. And last but certainly not least, and this kind of ties into our discussion, or one of our discussions, which is the WWE title hurting CM Punk, or at least the lack of attention on the WWE title. WWE Champion certainly got himself quite a bit of attention after Monday Night Raw, when he hit a fan at a live show. Now, if you watch the tapes, he hit the fan thinking that the fan had been striking him, and if you look at the tapes, all the different angles, he was being hit and shoved and pushed from all different angles, so I can't give him too much scorn in the fact that he just kind of sort of went for the first face he saw, basically.
Right.
Even though the guy technically didn't hit him, so boo on that, but the guy did technically bump into him, but that's neither here nor there. That it's kind of interesting the attention he's getting now. I mean, I told Rock last night in reading the stories and a lot of the comments that people are making about this situation, is if Punk wasn't a heel before, he sure as fuck is one now. Hey, there are some people calling for, at least out on Tuesday, there were some people calling for his head.
Yeah.
Because of this.
Yeah, they were. And until all the stories come out, we watch the videos and go, CM Punk's in hot water because he, well, struck the wrong guy.
Yeah, since then, Punk has obviously issued an apology. WWE has issued an apology. And there are to be, even though the guy did retain a lawyer, there are to be no charges filed, even though he did put out a police report. But it still remains
that
to be seen.
That seems to change every 15 minutes, by the way. I was reading a report this morning that the guy's looking at filing charges.
Something in a civil
yeah.
suit or some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah, Punk is not going to be arrested.
Yeah, there's no criminal charges. That's the one thing we can tell you. The criminal charges will not be filed, but a civil lawsuit means, hey, you're going to come to WrestleMania. First class and sit front row and have all your expenses paid and, you know, go fan access Hall of Fame, you know, whatever you want.
Plus a nice chunk of change for your trouble. Yeah, basically now whether the guy opts to sue the fuck out of WWE and CM Punk, that remains to be seen. Hopefully, I'm sure WWE is diligently trying to sweep this under the rug and shut him the hell up. Whether they succeed, that remains to be seen. Because the guy has basically a multi-million dollar lawsuit on his hands. They can set him up for the rest of his life.
No. They don't have a multi-million dollar lawsuit on their hands.
No, but...
He'd be lucky to get, you know, $1,000 out of it, or at minimum the cost of his glasses.
Right, and that's why I say they'll offer him WrestleMania.
They'll offer him,
you know, a couple of tickets front row at Raw or SmackDown or whatever comes through his town next time. It's not this gigantic thing that everybody's making it out to be.
No.
And if anything, Vince can sue the fuck out of the arena security.
I'm sure
he will. Any losses, because it was security's fault for not being where they needed to be.
And it was WWE security's fault too. That's who took a bunch of the blame in this story. Apparently they were dealing with another issue in the crowd, so that's why they could not get to Punk, according to reports. And WWE's completely acknowledged that, you know, they fucked up with this. Their security fucked up. That's why the fan got hit. And they're putting the blame on themselves rather than fully on CM Punk. That's stand up by the company, at least taking the blame off of the champion.
Indeed. And I just find it hilarious that anybody who looks back at the footage, yeah, the wrong guy got struck, but the guy did accidentally knock Punk on the back of the head. He was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
Pretty much.
There's two different people at fault in the videos. There's one that was a little shit standing right to the right of CM Punk, who had a sign and kept trying to shove it in Punk's face, and when Punk pushed the sign out of the way, he threw a punch. He tried to just push and shove and yell and scream at CM Punk, and there was another guy about three rows down who jumped out of his seat and ran up to try and do something to Punk. And that was the dickhead that fucking hit him in the ribs, which started, you know, Punk getting pissed off.
Plus, there's multiple people around him, to his left, to behind him, pretty much all over. I mean, if you listen to his account of the incident, he was surrounded, he's getting heckled, people are hitting him left, right, and center, pushing him, and, I mean, according to Punk's account, he was acting in self-defense.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, it happens to the best of them, you know. If you go out in the crowd and security's not there, and you get shoved around and pushed and hit and verbally assaulted like you do when you are a heel, eventually there's only so much you're going to take before you're going to have to try and create some room. And if that requires you to turn around and punch someone in your face, then so be it. It's just like any fan trying to put out a lawsuit anytime they jump the fucking railing. Which I find hilarious, because people jump the railing, the first thing a wrestler will do is kick the shit out of them. But
yeah,
yeah, and that's just going from my own experience as well. So I sympathize with CM Punk on this one.
Oh yeah, I you know, I'm not condemning him at all. I can completely see his side of the story.
Oh, I'm not saying,
and it's, but still, it's an unfortunate situation.
True. And I swear to God, I wish Alan had half a fucking brain in his head this past week on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, because Spug tried to bring this up twice. with fans taking things a bit too far.
Right.
With not only wrestlers, but other sports personalities as well. If they come near you, you know, there still needs to be a mutual respect barrier where you don't touch them. You know, for all intents and purposes, especially with professional wrestling, if somebody has to duck into the crowd, there's a reason for it. You don't get in their way. You know, have a bit of respect for what's going on. And I know it's one thing to get caught up in it all, but you don't try and take it upon yourself to get into the action.
Right. And okay, yeah. If you get, we understand if you get overzealous once, you go, okay, you touched them once. But repeatedly, that you know, you get one fuck up. But if you keep doing it, it's like, okay, back off, dude. Just back the fuck off.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You know, I understand people's need to touch them and slap and be like, oh yeah, I slapped CM Punk on the back at a show. But you know, it's, there's a difference between, you know, what the folks were doing at the arena versus what they normally do. And it's like, I really wanted to have Spug on, because when he broached this topic on Kayfabe, I was like, that's a really good topic, and I'd really love to have that conversation with him and as well as you, Mace, because you can see it from, and you can kind of explain it from the wrestling side of it, because you've been through that, and you understand that, and you know how it goes.
Indeed, and this is one of the very few times where I wish I was still on Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, where I could have talked this with Spug for at least an hour. Not have it swept under the rug in 2 minutes.
Yeah, and unfortunately it didn't get discussed. Unfortunately, Spug can't be on Thursdays because he has wrestling school, but I would have loved to have had that conversation with him just to get his insights, and as well as your insights on it, and maybe we can set that up at a later time, but just to kind of sort of go along, and for those of you who don't know, it's, are the fans taking too many liberties as far as sports, especially wrestling, are concerned? And I kind of have to agree with Spug that they are. You know, it's, there's a line, and like you said, there's a respect line. And some people know not to cross it, and some people don't.
Yeah, it's like you don't go to a theater and see a play about, you know, a murder or something, and you don't have people coming out of the fucking crowd jumping on stage trying to beat the shit out of the supposed murderer or something like that. You know, because there's one thing to be brought into the world, into the illusion, but you still got to realize it's still entertainment. These guys are just doing a job. And it's always been true of wrestling. We're just a bunch of actors and stuntmen. That's all we are in a general term. At the end of the day, we are not the people you see on television or you see at a live show. We are still human beings.
Exactly.
But anyway, now that we've beat the shit out of that dead horse.
Yeah. You know, I didn't want to have the same conversation that everybody else is having about it. I know it's the biggest story out there, so just wanted to broach it and bring it up. But the other dead horse that's out there is that everybody is bringing up is, of course, the WWE creative situation in which, well, Vince decided, got a wild hair up his ass and decided to completely turn the creative team on theirs. Brian Giewertz, whatever. I can't say his name, even though I've been Gerwitz.
Gerwitz. That's how I say Gerwitz. Alan was like Giewertz. No, it's Gerwitz or something. I don't know, whatever. Brian was released from his duties as
Brian was relieved of his duties as head writer of Raw. He's now being saved as a consultant because they can't technically fire him.
Because somebody needs him.
Yes, because, well, certain great one needs him. Rumor going around is the only thing that saved Brian's job was the fact that he is the promo guy for The Rock. He writes for him, and that's what saved his ass.
And probably the multi-million dollar contract he has for the next few years.
That too, but they're probably going to have him sit at home and run that out, unless he comes back into the good graces of Vince McMahon, Stephanie McMahon, and Triple H.
From what I heard, he was sent to Stanford. He's to sit in the Stanford office and try and write storylines.
That's what he's been doing for weeks now, actually. I guess back in February or March, something like that. They split up the writing team. They have a home team and a road team. Stephanie McMahon and Brian were the home team, for the most part. They weren't going on the road as much. They would sit in the offices and write the stories. Gerwitz is now just sent home. He's not even doing that anymore. He's a consultant. Basically right now means, hey, when The Rock comes back, we're going to need you to write his stuff for him. Until then, just sit home and you'll get paid.
Yeah, and the same thing is true with Ed Koski. He was also part of the home team. And I kind of agree with that to a certain extent, because you do earn your time. But if you're going to be the head writer, I don't know. If you're writing and you're booking the show, it feels like you should be there.
And but the thing is, he's over the last few months, they hired someone. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. Maybe you have it in an article or something.
Mm-mm, sorry.
Anyway, they hired someone new. Triple H brought in a guy he likes, and he's been slowly working his way in to the ear of Vince and Triple H. He's moved up the pecking order while Gerwitz has moved down. A couple years ago, Gerwitz was one of the top ranking guys in the company, and it slowly has fallen as soon as Hunter has gained more power in creative and stuff. So that's where that stands. The other thing is, there's some blame. Is Stephanie McMahon to blame for some of this? She's been head of creative for, 10 years now? Something along those lines, and ratings have gone down under her watch. We know Vince probably is mad at her, but how mad can he get at her?
Well, here's the thing. Vince will do what he has to for the business. At the end of the day, it's, yes, she's family and she is his daughter, but she also has a responsibility to the company and to the business. And if it turns out she is the reason that the ratings are going down because of her influence over creative and the fact that she's responsible for the hiring, she's brought in the wrong people, and the product has suffered, and that's costing Vince money, at the end of the day, he'll do what he has to maintain the company.
Would you be surprised if that in a few weeks from now, Stephanie McMahon gets a new role in the company?
No, not particularly.
No. To be honest, I don't even think she's really to blame. You gotta realize, she's just the overseer. She's the McMahon representative for the writing divisions. It's one thing to sort of jump up and down and say, yeah, it's Stephanie's fault because she's overseeing the whole thing. But could it be that just the writers are suffering from burnout? Because you take a look, some of these guys have been there for 15 years almost.
Oh, I completely agree with you with the burnout point. And I was telling Lindsay, I guess it was Monday, maybe. I think it was. That, if you think about your favorite TV shows, how long do they last? 4 to 8 years?
Something along those lines, yeah.
And in there, and they're only producing 23, 25 episodes a season. And they always bring in new writers. The people who originally start season one aren't the ones contributing to all the episodes. So, they get burnt out, and they're only writing 23 half-hour shows a year.
Yeah.
So and these guys are writing the equivalent of an entire, if you take a look at it, you put the average television season at, say, 24 episodes.
Right.
So you got that's 48. If you double it, that's only half an hour. Okay, so
48 would
be say we'll put the average of WWE television at 2 hours, just to...
Which it was for...
Average,
which
was. For quite, a,
actually,
quite a while.
It's... No, go 4 hours, because that's SmackDown and Raw.
Alright, so... So we do 4 hours, so okay, so you go from doing a 24 season to 48 for an hour. You're looking at the equivalent of 6 television seasons a year for the WWE creative team, if not more. When you think about it, because average television is half an hour, so you got to double that into an hour, times that by 4. So technically, you're looking at eight seasons, probably eight and a half, maybe 9 seasons worth of half an hour television shows over a year of wrestling.
Correct.
And I'm sorry, I have trouble staying creative for an hour, let alone doing 9 times the work of an average television writer.
Right.
So you and have to imagine they get burnt out.
Yeah, so if we're taking, say, 9 seasons a year for a WWE writer, times it over 15 years, over 100 odd episodes, over 100 odd seasons of television in 15 years.
That, you gotta...
That's a lot of creative time.
And now you realize, when you put all this math together, we're doing math on the air, which is always awesome on live radio. You think about it. You think of all this, and we wonder, why aren't their stories that creative every single week? When you do the math and how much they're writing.
And now we've just worked it out.
Now we know why it is the way it is, because the writers are shot. But this leads to the question of, should they maybe cycle their writing team through?
And they do.
They do. That's the thing. I think the creative team is anywhere up to 6 members each side.
Right, and you have the main guys, Koski and Garwitz and Stephanie and Michael Hayes. They're your main 4, and whoever this new guy is. But then you have the people around them. You were reading the job offers to me for creative writers the other day.
And the writer's assistant.
And the writer's assistant, which, by the way, was fantastic. Yeah. If you go to WWE corporate website and read the job description for an assistant writer, and then you think of a Thundercon, and yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. The one that I found hilarious, I can't remember if this was something you guys linked to me or it was on Facebook, where somebody went to the corporate page and then put Russo's answers to all their criteria.
And yes, I've seen
going,
that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was great. I found out a picture. But, yeah. If you think about it, now you understand why they're burnt out. Why the shows aren't good every week. It's like, okay, they're running this much television, and we just average it out. Now they're 3 hours on Monday. They're 2 hours for SmackDown. They're an hour for main event now. It's like... And then the one thing we forgot, Maze, they write pay-per-views.
Okay, so...
Hey.
So you're looking at about an average of 6 episodes, so 6 12s. Oh, fuck me. You're looking at an average year is something along the lines of 11 to 12 seasons of normal half an hour television shows.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't chain smoke and aren't all alcoholics is amazing.
I'm really interested at looking at this from a mathematical point of view.
Again, mathematics.
I'm getting the calculator out for this one.
There we go. All right,
starting from Monday, we have Monday, which is 3 hours.
Correct.
Well, actually,
let's say with 2. We'll go with 2.
No. I actually want to do this full. So we'll say 3 hours of television plus. Superstars, which is what, an hour?
Yes, 1 hour, yes.
Plus NXT, which is an hour. Plus Saturday Morning Slam, which is what, half an hour?
Half hour, but that's one match. Yeah, okay, let's go half hour. We'll keep going. Main event's an hour.
Main event's an hour?
Yes.
plus
2 hours of SmackDown.
2 hours of SmackDown.
Yes.
Right. All right. So that's 8.5 hours of television that they have to write every week.
Right. So times that by four.
Yep. Times that by four.
And add.
Is 14.5 hours.
And add 3 hours.
Plus 3 hours. Okay. So we're at 17.5 in a month.
For 1 month.
One month. Times that by 12 for the 12 months. They are writing 210 hours of television a year.
Now, that's television. Television. Mm-hmm. I don't know how... Okay, now, I don't know how it comes to when who puts together the DVDs. Do the writers put together the DVDs? Or, no?
No, I think that's production time.
Okay, just... Okay. Think about it. How much was the math number again? 200 and something?
210 hours.
210 hours.
And to give you an idea, the average 24 episode television show is a total of 12 hours of television. All right.
And
so you got 210 episodes divided by the 12 hours per season. That's 17.5 seasons a year.
A year.
That these people are creating.
1 year.
And this doesn't even include all the rewrites and shit. And actual hours that they do work.
This is just content hours. They spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours every single year writing this. Maybe 1,000+ hours a year writing this shit.
I would probably say if you do the average creation time of a television show is anywhere from 5 to 10 hours. You're looking at somewhere closer to about 500 hours a year of work put into this.
And that's normal. You're talking about Vince McMahon's schedule.
That's a standardized year.
You have a Vince McMahon schedule.
Yeah.
Again, how the fact that they don't chain smoke and all and aren't all alcoholics, which you never know, they may be, is astounding.
See, now once you actually sit there and you crunch the fucking numbers, you feel sorry for these guys.
You really do. It's like, okay, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't be so hard on them on Mondays anymore. We now know the math. We just need to accept it. It's the math. Math equals
And this is not Scott Steiner math we're talking here.
No. Legitimate mathematics 101. Boom.
That just really put everything in perspective. It really did.
Thought about it.
Just content hours, 17 and a half seasons a year.
I know.
Oh my god, I feel, if they're not alcoholics, I want to take them out for a drink.
Yeah.
Oh fuck. Next time Alan has someone from creative, an ex-WWE creative guy or something, Rock, bring me in on the
We should just book one on this show.
Yeah,
We should.
I wouldn't actually mind.
Talking.
Trying to get the proper mathematics of how long these guys spend writing this shit every week.
We should work. We'll work on it and see if we can find someone to, you know, book for the show.
Because that's just blown my fucking mind. It really has.
We should try to book Heyman Hustle.
Well, hey, I'm good. I'm not that good.
Well, we'll just stalk him like Ardo
Calvin. I do not do 142.6% of a TV season. I am not Scott Steiner when it comes to mathematics. I'm more Asian.
But on that note, now that we've beaten that topic to death, let's close out the show with our Bound for Glory picks.
Yes,
and of
please.
Course our question of the night.
Which all ties together.
So we're just going to run through this really quickly. Or try to, so we don't make everybody fall asleep, because I know it's very late on the East Coast, and we've already gone almost 2.5 hours as is, so we'll try to wrap this up really quickly. So, Bound for Glory, this Sunday. All right, Joey Ryan versus Al Snow. Nobody say I don't care. Go.
Care I don't?
Asshole.
Joey Ryan. Because I don't see Al Snow winning on pay-per-view. And they like Joey Ryan, apparently. And he, and the 87%ers and Alan Wojcik.
Wait, Alan Wojcik isn't the 87%ers?
He's one of the 87%ers. He's in love with Joey Ryan, so Joey Ryan wins.
Aww. Mace?
Me care not.
Fuck you both.
Hey, you challenged. You challenged.
I know I challenged. Pick somebody. Or we will pick
for you. I believe I picked Joey Ryan for this one.
Okay. As much as it pains me to say it, I want Al Snow to win, but he's not going to, so it's going to be Joey Ryan. They're probably going to bring him on and finally end the storyline, please God. Knockouts Championship match, Tara versus Tessmacher. Is there any of us not taking Tara?
Tara. Yeah.
Mace?
I'm good with that.
Okay. Tara it is, for all three of us. Your television championship match, which actually will be a good match, is Magnus versus your champion Samoa Joe. Mace, who are you picking?
I'm still taking Joe.
Alright.
Yeah, I'm still sticking with Samoa Joe, even though I have a hunch Magnus will probably win after tonight. Joe will keep the belt.
Yeah, I'm going to have to concur. Joe wins and retains the belt. Which makes me very happy. And in a street fight with your special enforcer, King Mo, or should I say Princess Mo with his tiara, Bobby Roode versus James Storm. I'm, of course, going with my boy, James Storm. Rock, who do you have?
I think I picked James Storm on Sunday. I guess I should stick with it. Hopefully that's who I picked Sunday. James Storm has to go over, I think. He would, because Bobby Roode can lose and still look strong. It all depends what they do with King Mo.
Okay, Mace.
Bobby Roode.
Okay. And in your World Tag Team Titles match, you have Styles and Angle versus Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus the World Tag Team Champions of the World, the greatest duo that ever lived, Daniels and Kazarian.
World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Mace?
World Tag Team Champions of the World, obviously.
World Tag Team Champions of the World. It's a sweep. Not a sleep. And
we only say that because we love Christopher Daniels.
Yes, we heart Christopher Daniels very much.
And I don't want the Mexicans to win.
You racist bastard, you.
Apparently.
Somebody had to say it.
Next up, we have Aces and Eights versus Sting and Bully Ray.
All makes sense for the Aces and Eights to win.
Okay. Mace?
I think Aces and Eights, I think I had for this one.
Okay. I'll agree again. They're going to continue Aces and Eights into the next pay-per-view, seeing as they're kind of on the poster. So, yeah, it's going to be Aces and Eights that picks up the win. And, of course, the main event.
Hold on. You forgot a match before we get to the main event.
It's not on the... I don't have it on ImpactWrestling.com. What is it?
The whole effing show, Rob Van Dam. Challenges for the X Division title against Z-Mion.
RVD.
RVD better win, but I'm gonna pick
Zima. Yeah, RVD.
I'm gonna pick Zima Ion, but RVD better win.
Yeah. TNA has not updated their website, so shame on their web team.
Maybe they should hire somebody else to do their website for them.
I know two web designers that are available. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. Now you get to the main event.
And in your main event, the World Heavyweight Championship, the charismatic Swiper, Jeff Hardy, against the greatest man that ever lived, Austin Aries.
Swiper, no swiping? No?
Hey, okay. Gimmick infringement.
Gimmick infringement.
But you called him the charismatic Swiper, and I instantly thought... I don't know why I instantly thought, but...
I don't think he's that charismatic. Personally, I think he has the charisma of a carrot, but that's just me.
Sure.
The best in the world, or the best on planet Earth, Jeffrey Nero Hardy wins the title.
I'm going to have to agree. It hurts so bad to say that, but I think they're going to have Austin Aries lose to Jeff Hardy, which is going to suck.
I'm going to have faith. I'm going to pick Austin Aries to retain.
And that's Bound for Glory Live this Sunday night at on pay-per-view, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Call your local cable provider and buy it. Buy, because Christopher Daniels tells you to do so. Buy the pay-per-view, and then we'll cover it all post-show on WrestleTalk Radio following the pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yep. And also buy his t-shirts and go back in the archive and listen to the interview to get the Appletini recipe, because God knows I'm going to, because, yeah, I actually want to go to the liquor store because I get paid tomorrow and make them.
Woohoo!
Yay! And, of course, we are going to close out our show, as always, with the question of the night, and I think Rock has a little rant, too.
Yeah, at some point, maybe. Yeah, I should rant about it. Anyway, question of the night, tell them what it is.
Question of the night is, who do you think the leader of the Aces and Eights is? And I think we should hear the fan responses. I'm really curious.
First of all, my gut instinct tells me Bischoff is the master behind and Bully Ray is the leader that we will see speaking to the camera all the time, but they'll probably try to disappoint the expectation. I would expect, quote-unquote, nothing less. Next person, I think Bischoff is behind it, mind behind it, with Luke Gallows being the ringleader. I think Bully Ray would be better, but he's already over. They should use it to get someone over. Next one, my guess is it's as follows: Jeff Jarrett or Kevin Sullivan. They have both didn't like Sting and Hogan for years. Bischoff has mentioned in his blogs on other websites that he isn't involved with the Aces and Eights storylines, but Bully Ray, I thought his contract was coming to an end with the company and thought he and Devon were going to make a WWE run in the near future. Next person, Bubba the Love Sponge. next person, I think Bischoff is the mastermind. Also think his son might be involved. Bully Ray, Jerry Lynn, just to name a few in my opinion. All the emphasis seems to be on Hogan and Sting. Trust Bully. What if Sting is who is in on Aces and Eights? It's Sting who betrays TNA at their biggest show. He worked good here heel prior to the formation of Immortal. Imagine the promos where he mocks TNA, put him in the Hall of Fame, not knowing he would be the one to take it out. Of course, this is a complete 180 to Sting's goal for last year at Bound for Glory, but that's right up TNA's alley. Sting, definitely, if they're putting him in the Bound for Glory match instead of anyone else. Other things to consider, Kurt Angle begged to be on the team. He was attacked by Aces and Eights, but only saw him down, not the attack. Same with Anderson. He was down with Aces and Eights standing around him moments after being announced as Sting partner. Either one of those two could be involved. Could Jeff Hardy be behind Aces and Eights? That's one set of responses. Another set goes Jeff Jarrett and his wife Karen. You have Jeff Jarrett and both Bischoffs, Bully Ray, Jeff Jarrett and Brooke Hogan.
That requires explanation. Whoever submitted that, if you're listening to the show, I want an explanation behind that.
Just as the girl, I guess. For it. Let's see.
Have you seen any titties in that group? Other than the chick that maced them.
Which was Leva Bates. We had Eric Bischoff, Jeff Jarrett, or Bully Ray, and Abyss was the name? Abyss? A-B-I-S?
I believe that would be Abyss's cousin.
Abyss. Yes.
Are we sure it's not Abacus?
No, it needs more word for Abacus. I think it's Bully, so says one person. I'm thinking Luke Gallows or Abyss for the leader and Wes Brisker was a member. I've got a hunch that Bischoff has something to do with them as well. Some dude named Jed Schaefer says, I'm hoping it's not somebody in TNA, but not Luke Gallows. That'd be a yawn. It needs to be somebody that you make you pick up the phone and say, holy shit, did you hear? And that's a great point. We'll get back to that in a minute. Brian J. Blotty says Steve Corino was a long shot. And somebody named Brent, a.k.a. a kitten of some sort, says Al Snow is recreating the job squad.
Alright, we'll get back to the holy shit, did you hear?
That's a great point. If this whole, as Hogan said, Hogan did an interview somewhere and said, oh, a couple of weeks ago we were going to do a big reveal, do a quick reveal, but we thought, oh, we're doing so good, let's hold off on it. The holy shit did you hear? We don't have a lot of that anymore in wrestling.
You don't.
And if they're going to get this angle to work, the holy shit, dude, did you hear this? I need to see this. Would be the perfect way. The question is, who right now is holy shit, dude, did you hear? And it can't be someone in TNA, because that does nothing. It needs to be somebody from the outside that makes up this group, and they need to have some power behind their name. The question is, who?
Who's floating around right now?
That's the thing. There aren't many talents out there that will make you go, holy shit.
I know this is a long shot, and I know it wouldn't be an oh my god for the general audience, but it would be the oh my god, and this would be the guys that would jump on the phone saying, did you just see? Kevin Steen. From Ring of Honor.
I could see that.
Because that would get the wrestling fans jumping up and down going, holy shit.
And then here's how you tie it in. You know, we've been seeing these Ace and Eight guys, they're big and strong, but that's not who they are when they get revealed. It's Ring of Honor.
Didn't we have this theory a couple weeks ago?
Then you play a Ring of Honor invasion on top.
Exactly.
Because Wes Briscoe is a part of the Briscoe brothers, which are in Ring of Honor.
No, he's not, no.
I thought he was. I thought they were in Ring of Honor.
There's a team named the Briscoe brothers, but that's not him.
Oh. I just swore it was him. Never mind. But still, you have Gallows. You could bring in Kenny King into this group.
Right, you could... I would go for some more smaller guys, and it's like, yeah, it's a Ring of Honor takeover, and that ties in with Steve Corino. It could be Steve Corino's group that comes in and takes over. But there's not enough. Like, okay, we could throw out a big name, Kevin Nash. Could he be the leader? I don't think that would get people talking.
Scott Hallwood.
Scott Hallwood.
Yeah, Scott Hallwood.
Scott Hallwood, only because people are going, holy shit, do you see that? Scott Hall's sober!
And he's alive. Scott Hall's alive.
The thing about it is they're playing this group as very intelligent. They're not playing them as the average dumb GERARD biker group. The leaders of this group have some intelligence behind them. They're making that very apparent.
You know, I just had an interesting thought, like, not as for the leader, but at least a member. D'Angelo De Niro.
That'd be good.
Because he should be back from his shoulder injury by now. And it'd be an interesting way to throw people off the scent, considering he was the first guy attacked.
I don't think it was the first guy attacked, but Sting was the first guy attacked. But
I thought Hogan was.
No, it was Sting. Sting was the first guy attacked, and right after Slammiversary, he was doing the big Hall of Fame speech in the ring, and then he left and got attacked.
Okay. I want to Google something. Hold on.
Holding on. But going back, it's the holy shit moment. The Aces and Eights thing needs to be the holy shit moment. Okay, if it's Luke Gallows and whoever else has been linked to it, it's like, if it's somebody linked to it already, it won't get people talking. If you're TNA, this needs to get people talking. That's the only way this angle will work, is if you get people talking. Oh, it's Eric Bischoff. Boring. We've seen Eric Bischoff lead a group. It's nothing new. You gotta get somebody that goes, boom, here's my money, I want to see what happens next.
Yeah, I don't want it to be somebody expected. I don't want it to be your Hogan, your Bischoff, your Nash, your... I mean, even as much as it would be cool to see your Joseph Parks. Because he's another one that it's kind of like, that would be interesting if Joseph Parks was the leader all along and he was the inside man.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can pretty much figure out they have somebody on the inside and that's how they keep getting into Impact.
And as we kind of figure out tonight, the guy on the inside is Wes Briscoe and he's getting the help from Kurt Angle. But it can't be like... It's like... The holy shit moment. This is their big show. They got to have something to talk about. Jeff Hardy win the title. No one's going to talk about it because it's been there, done that. James Storm winning is not going to have people talking. The Aces and Eights angle needs to be the thing that the next morning people are talking about, because there's nothing on this show right now that will have people talking good about the show. There is no water cooler buzz about this show, just on the matches, because we've seen... Jeff Hardy's been a champion before. We've seen Bobby Roode and James Storm fight. King Mo's the special enforcer. He's not going to do that much. He's going to get one spot in the match, and it could either cost Roode or Storm the victory. But it's not going to be that moment where you go, holy shit, I need to see this. The Aces and Eights, because it's been taking up so much television, needs to be the angle where they go, boom, tomorrow, Monday morning, you didn't see the TNA pay-per-view? Why not? This happened. This guy showed up and is behind this thing the entire time. I can't tell you who it is, but it needs to be someone where it would be, boom, headline news.
Well, if you want to talk an invasion, ROH is one, but what about an MMA invasion?
Oh, God, no.
No, please, no. Please don't bring me Bellator.
MMA guys trying wrestling, no, bad. But the thing is, the only guy that needs to be the, oh my god, did you see, is the leader himself.
Exactly.
Oh yeah,
and
I
you
agree.
Just need that.
Like, the rest of the guys, you could have guys, you could have Bully Ray on the team, you could have Angle, you could have,
you could have your
Garrett Bischoff, you could have Austin Aries could be a part of the group,
right,
for all that matters. As long as the guy who is the leader behind the group is the, oh my god.
Right. It just it needs to happen like that. But it's like, I don't know.
Here's the other theory that I have for Sunday. We are not going to find out who the leader is on Sunday. They're going to save that for what's the next one? Against All Odds.
And that's
one where they're on the poster.
That turning point. But that's stupid.
No. Because what you do at this one is you reveal the two guys who are in the ring.
If you start revealing members, okay, I can get that.
You reveal the two guys that are in the ring. They get beaten by Bully and Sting, and they get their masks pulled off or something. Or if they win, they reveal themselves. But the leader says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make you wait.
Well, the leader isn't there.
Yeah.
It's like the VP guy and then whoever.
Yeah. And you hold them off and you focus the next pay-per-view all around these guys. Like, it's going to be technically TNA versus Aces and Eights for almost every match.
And you review, every week you start to, you get a big reveal.
You start dropping hints.
You get a big reveal of the people at Bound for Glory. You get to see some of the members. You get to see the two at least. I would do a couple more and just have, here's the crew, but the VP guy makes a statement and you don't know who he is. You get a hint, but you don't know who it is.
Well, there's the guy that's been doing all the talking every week, and then there's the president guy that they had during the Joseph Parks negotiation. The question is who gets revealed first? And are they the same guy?
To be honest, I reckon the two guys that they send in, one of them is a guy that nobody would know, like an outside guy, and the other is somebody within the company.
Right, it has to get you talking.
That's your water cooler. That's your, oh my God, did you see?
Right. As shitty as it's been dragged out, because it has, we've all admitted it started in middle of June, and to this point, it's almost mid-October. They've dragged it out for that long. And if we do the math, it's so many hours of TV. They gotta get to the point where, okay, we need to be talking about this angle for it to matter. A normal Hogan-Bischoff payoff would suck. It has to be bigger than the normal. Can't be Jeff Jarrett, because guess what? We've seen Jeff Jarrett. Been there, done that, bought the DVD. It needs the impact of a big to-do, or this last few months has been worthless.
You know what I'd love to, this is, if I was booking this, I would put Aries and Hardy somewhere in the mid-card section, and then you put Aries as one of the aces and eights.
Because it follows up with his promo tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's one of the two revealed, and everybody goes, holy shit. The TNA champion is one of aces and eights.
Exactly. That would work, because then you put Aries over, let Aries keep the belt, and then do the main event with the aces and eights angle. I know everyone the next day will go, oh my God, why isn't he in the main event? But guess what? It would make sense if they have a big, boom, payoff. Because now they lost control, because now the champion's elsewhere. They disrespected him, so he went elsewhere, and now he's going to take down the company that's disrespecting him.
But he also uses it, but at the same time, you could say that Aries is a higher up in the group, because this is the way he's going to get those things that he wants.
But he's not
a pawn. Yeah, he's not the leader, but he's not a pawn either.
Right. He is influencing with it.
Yes. He's been the one that's been getting them all the information. He's been the mole the entire time, and he's doing it because the Aces and Eights promised him that once they control TNA, he gets everything he wishes.
And then you can either... And that could play two ways down the road, where they can end up screwing him over because they got what they wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your next couple of months of television. Please send checks to media at wildtalkradio.com.
We can book this shit for you.
So I think we've beaten that topic to death.
But here's the thing. We just gave logical reasoning for different scenarios to work out for this show.
Oh, I know. And I liked all of them, and that's the thing. But it's also almost 2 a.m.
I understand this. We're going to get off the air in 10 minutes.
Okay, just want to make sure. I don't want to drive the listeners out trying to be courteous.
Hey, we gave them Christopher Daniels at the start, and how much did we prepare last night? Not a lot. It was almost 3 hours. So take that.
I know.
And here's the other thing. We've actually had discussion on this show. Not plugging up segments between interviews.
Just saying.
So can I rant now?
Please rant.
Okay. So what's bugging you this week? Okay, here's what's bugging me this week. As you close out the show always. So, for years, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, and Evolve, or whatever, have run shows around WrestleMania weekend. Okay. I get Ring of Honor, okay, they've done it once, okay, then that's been coming tradition, okay. Now there's this whole big WrestleCon thing. Where Evolve, Shine, Dragon Gate, and whatever other promotion games and balls he's involved with, they're doing a big WrestleCon. Ring of Honor is doing a show WrestleMania time. TNA is doing now. TNA is doing a show at WrestleMania time in New York City. They're all in that area around WrestleMania time. And now Extreme Reunion Rising, whatever it's called, doing a show WrestleMania weekend. It's like, oh my god, stop leeching off of fucking WWE and WrestleMania. You don't see WWE going to Arizona this weekend to leech off a TNA crowd, because there is no TNA crowd. Wrestling companies need to stand on their own. Okay, it's cool when one person does it. Great. Okay, two. Now you got like 8 or 9 companies leeching off of this WrestleMania thing, because they know, oh, we're going to have 100,000 plus fans in the New York area or more for WrestleMania. It's like, oh my god, people are not coming to see Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, Evolve. No one's traveling there to see you guys. They're not coming to see Extreme Reunion that we've seen 1,000 times. Oh my god, ECW, ECW, oh my god, it's Shane Douglas in a shirt. No one cares. Stop leeching off of WWE. Stop leeching off of WrestleMania. If you want to do one show, fine. Do a super show one day on a Friday night. But no, everyone's doing, oh, here's the Thursday, Friday, a Saturday show, a Sunday afternoon show. It's like, oh my god, people are going to see WWE because that's the attraction. It's not stupid Extreme Reunion Rising. It's not Ring of Honor. Sorry, guys. You failed an iPay-per-view. No one cares. Stop trying to leech off of WWE. That's it. I'm tired of seeing, oh, this company is doing a show at WrestleMania time. This, it's like, the General Wrestling Fair doesn't give a know who the fuck you are. And they're not going to care. You may bring in a big name. Wow, great. You can see that next month in your area, because they're always going to be there. I'm tired of seeing it. Tired promotions. Build your own fan base. Stop leeching off of WWE. You're just showing that you know you can't. End of rant.
Well said. Well done.
I can agree to a certain point. However, the general WWE audience, they're going to go see WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame and Fan Access and whatever the hell else that WWE is putting on that weekend. There's still a lot of excess time that can be filled, and that's what these other promotions are doing. I agree with the point that they should build their own fan base, but then again, they're trying to build off the wrestling fan base, not the single-eyed WWE audience. WWE does not own the entire wrestling audience. So, something like this, and I'll agree with the fact that there's too much.
It's way too much. It's just like, one, two, eight, it's like every week it's another promotion's running a show. TNA should not be running a show at WrestleMania weekend.
TNA, I would say, stay the fuck away from New York WrestleMania weekend.
But they're doing
Ring of Honor, run a show Saturday night?
Saturday afternoon. Because you can't do it Saturday. Because Saturday night's the Hall of Fame. You don't run up against that shit.
Yeah, my bad. I can't remember all the timetables. But, if they want to run something, Ring of Honor Saturday afternoon, not a problem.
Right.
You want to have, a show Friday night run by Shimmer, Shine, WSU, whoever. Fine. You stay the fuck away from Sunday. You stay the fuck away from Monday.
You stay away
from Saturday night. Those are your blockout areas. Any other time, you have one promotion only running a show, and that's it.
Right. If the,
you
all
don't,
the promotions
you don't have 40,000.
Right. Let them all come together in one show. Just take all your best matches and put them on one 3-hour, 4-hour show. That's it. And split the gate equally.
Actually, if I can just interject, having been to Mania and done... When I went in Atlanta, we did the whole... And when I say we, there was a group of 5 of us. Mm-hmm. We did Fan Access. We did the Hall of Fame. We did the show. And I can tell you, just on that Friday, Saturday, Sunday stretch, there isn't a ton of time. Just because you have to factor in travel time, you know, and other stuff that you want to do while you're down there. Because it was in downtown Atlanta, so we did sightseeing, we did access, and then we did all the WWE events, because they don't just do the ones that they advertise. They have signings all over the place. They have appearances. They're doing all kinds of shit everywhere. all over town. So if the if it's the casual fans, they're going to be doing that. Plus, it's in New York City, so you figure in the downtime, people are going to be going sightseeing. They're going to be, you know, going to the Empire State Building and the Statue of Liberty and wherever else you want to go in New York. And then there's also travel time. Because depending on where the hotel is, if it's over in Jersey, and they're doing...
It's in New York.
Is it
okay.
From what I saw in the travel package, it's in New York.
The travel pack, I think Fan Access is in New Jersey.
Yeah, okay. So you've got to go from New York to Jersey. That's at least 45 minutes to an hour to get there. And that's in good traffic. So
it's a full day affair, basically, getting from point A to point B. And a lot of people spend most days, they do all the different, you know, things.
So I can agree with Rock that, I agree, it is too much. But honestly, if you want to have these companies running a show, you run shows on like that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday up to Mania. And block out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Because Access starts on Thursday afternoon, and then it runs for that 4 days.
Correct.
And plus you have all the other shit going on during the weekend. So if you're going, if you're a company and you're going to do this, fans start getting into town on that Tuesday or Wednesday usually, depending on when they want to go. Because when I went, I got into town on a Wednesday, I think it was. And then I was there till that Monday, and then I flew back. So, you know, people are going to get into town early, they're going to get into town late, but just that general weekend for the casual fan, they're not going to want to go to these shows. And we're also excluding, it's like we're just listing the major companies right now, we're excluding all the New York-based companies that are going to try to run.
Exactly. You're going to get a lot more promotions running it. It's like... enough is enough. When I saw Extreme Rising, I was like, fuck, guys, just stop.
Yeah, well, that promotion in particular needs to fucking die a horrible, horrible, fiery, burny death anyway. But this is the thing, like, I respect Lindsay taking it from her perspective and everything, because she's been there, she's done that. From somebody like myself and Spug, like, we were planning to go to this one.
Right.
I know at least for me, because I think the plan for us was we were going to arrive the Monday before Mania.
And take it all in.
And spend that time, you know, doing the generalized sightseeing. So when the time came down to the Friday night, we'd go and catch, you know, an indie show of some description. Saturday, we'd be early in line for Fan Access, and I know the way I do conventions is I can run around a convention, see everything within a fucking hour. The only other thing would be standing in line for autographs, which these days I can't be fucked doing due to my knees.
Right.
So I could probably do Fan Access in
2 hours.
2 hours maximum. At which point then I'd spend, if I wasn't going to, well, if I'm going to Hall of Fame on the Saturday night, mm-hmm. I'd spend the afternoon at a Ring of Honor show. You know, go and see that, because I'm quite sure if Spug and I rocked up to Ring of Honor and talked to the right two or three people and mentioned, hey, we're from Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, next thing you know, we're backstage partying with the boys. Sunday, of course, would be WrestleMania.
Right.
Which would be WrestleMania all day, go ape shit like crazy, do like Will did, go and get stuck in a parking lot for 5 hours. Funniest shit I ever heard, I swear to God, if you haven't listened to it, go back to when we covered WrestleMania and you get to hear Will stuck in a fucking car park.
You got him in the car park And the next day the car broke down after coming out of
again,
Raw.
Yeah.
And we had both on the air. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so Sunday, you know, obviously WrestleMania. Monday, of course, would be Raw. We go do the whole thing with Raw. Tuesday, when we're told to check out, we're out the door, back on the road again.
Right. But you said you wanted to do Ring of Honor and one other show. That's two.
Yeah, but that's the thing. We be very specific on what shows we go and see. Ring of Honor obviously would be one of them.
And I get that. I approve of Ring of Honor for this reason. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
I will say this. The one thing that we managed to get to that was non-WWE was Colt Cabana's riffing session that he had after the Hall of Fame. Like, he did it Saturday night. That was the one non-WWE event we managed to get to.
But that was late Saturday night.
Yeah, that was way late Saturday night.
You did everything else. The WWE fan, which is 95% of the people who show up, are wanting to do WWE things. I know you're going to have the wrestling fans, yada, yada, yada. They're going to want to see the wrestling. But that's only a few hundred people. But since it's 500 people out of 100,000 people, it's like, you can't go to everything. You can't go to Dragon Gate and Evolve and Ring of Honor, Extreme Rising, and whatever, and the like, TNA, and all, whatever.
Which is, believe me, we're not disagreeing with you there. There's too much going on that weekend.
Yeah, that's my point. There's too much. Stop everyone. Yeah. Ring of Honor, you're good. I'll give Dragon Gate one, but that's enough. It's done.
Yeah, I agree with all the Gabe Sapolsky feds. Put them all under one roof for one night.
And I think they're going to do that. And I think that's fine.
That's fine.
Do it on a Friday afternoon, Friday night. Okay, I get it. But it's this company. It's just...
It's too much.
It's way too much. It's you don't... my point was, you don't see WWE going to TNA's biggest show.
No. But they do run house. I believe that there was one time I think they were doing Bound for Glory or something, and WWE ran a house show in the same night. This has happened between two companies before, but it's always been a WWE house show event that they've been doing, no TV, no nothing.
Right.
But yeah, my ultimate WrestleMania weekend would be I'd go to wherever it is early in the week, do the sightseeing things early week. Friday night would be, I'd go to a WSU show. Saturday Arvo, I'd be at a Ring of Honor show. Then Hall of Fame, Saturday night, Sunday Mania, Monday Raw, Tuesday, get the fuck out of Dodge.
No, what you would do is you would...
in the car park.
Then you go hang out with Jessica Havoc at some point.
That'd be Friday night. I'd make sure somehow to get a hold of a PlayStation 3 and a copy of Resident Evil 6. She and I'll just grab a television, sit there, and play all night.
So, that was my rant. What's bugging you, Mace?
To be honest, the closure of THQ Asia Pacific, which is specifically the Melbourne branch here in Australia. It's sort of sad to see a company deciding, hey, we're going to hand off all our publishing duties to a third-party company rather than trying to keep local talent working on games. Because that was the thing about THQ Australia. They weren't just the THQ publishing arm. They had a hand in at least the final production of a lot of games you're going to be seeing for the rest of this year and early next year, such things as Darksiders 2, which came out last month. Also, WWE 13, they've had a lot of involvement in that, getting the polish up and running on that. South Park, Stick of Truth, coming out in March next year, is another little baby of THQ Asia Pacific. And there's a lot of talented artists and probably some of the best community relations managers on this planet that have been let go from their jobs, which is very unfortunate to see, because if there's one thing that's getting harder to do down here in Melbourne is to get work. I've been unemployed for 3 months, and I have had probably two look-ins at a job, both of which haven't panned out. So to see yet another company, especially gaming companies, because a lot of Australian gaming companies have been going down the shitter for at least the last year, to see another one close is a really sad thing to see, and it does piss me off because it means, you know, once again, my state is the worst in the country where it comes to unemployment, which means I don't have fucking money, and I want money because I like
toys.
Spending money.
So you can buy toys
because I have a lot of Japanese toys that I want to buy. Lots and lots of noise making toys, and I blame Omega for getting me hooked on the fucking things.
That's a bad Omega.
You should hear this.
I told him this morning, I decided to finally cave in and buy the latest Kamen Rider roleplay belt and collect all the little fucking gimmicks that are going to go with it. And I curse him to hell every step of the fucking way. It's all Omega's fault. I blame him.
As you should, and you should hear some of the post conversations go, ooh, here's this. Should get it. See how pretty this is? We should get it.
Yeah, bastard.
Omega is good at one thing. He's good at selling shit. That's what he does for on the YouTube. That's how
no shit. Mr. fucking used car salesman and fucking self.
That's why he's a Canadian, and that's why he's with Tim, because they're both good at that.
Yeah, and I will say counterpoint to, you know, being all ragey and arg and all that. I finally got around to trying Pepsi Next.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad. It's actually taken out the bitterness out of Pepsi. I was quite surprised with that. It's actually a sweeter version of Pepsi, even though having 30% less sugar, which is really fucking weird.
They probably used a different sweetener.
Probably, because like it's a very good taste. It doesn't have the sort of bitterness that Pepsi usually has to it. Very weird. But I like it.
Alright, so I've ranted. May's ranted. Lindsay.
Stop spamming my fucking Twitter feed with tweets about God! I'm done.
I agree. I concur with this. I'm sorry, I don't follow your religion. Please fuck off.
Keep in mind, I have no problem with people expressing your religion, but that being said, if you retweet every single Jesus God quote there is on the face of the planet, especially, I know when it's about to be Sunday because there is one guy on my Twitter feed who I have since unfollowed that he redoes that. He retweeted every single tweet about God and Jesus there is on almost every night, but especially on Saturday nights. I have no problem with you celebrating your religion, but please be courteous of others because, you know what, it can get to offensive levels, okay? I don't shove my religion down your face. Please don't shove it down mine, even though I live in the universe for that right now. The epicenter for that.
I still want to go and visit you and see how long it takes me to get chased out of the state with pitchforks.
Let's do it, man.
I'm no.
You can get here by summer or fall of 2013, which is probably how long I'm going to be here till. Go for it.
I'll make sure I'm there on your last day as you're moving out. But even better.
Fantastic.
I'll get us both run out of the state.
Sweet. Just as long as we can flick off my Xbox on the way.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that's it. I'm good.
So yeah, that's been the show, everybody.
So thank you so much for sticking with us for over 3 hours. Thank you to Christopher Daniels. Thank you to Mark, his manager. Mark is the correct name, yes.
Yeah, Mark, just follow him on Twitter. I'll link it tomorrow. If you see my tweets tomorrow, his Twitter will be on there. Follow him. He's a cool dude. He's a great PR guy, and he's hooked us up with Christopher Daniels a couple times so far and a couple other guests, so he's a good dude, so thank you.
Yes, thank you to him. Of course, thank you to Rock and to Mace. Please visit our sponsors, pwmania.com, for all the news and notes and just awesomeness throughout the week for wrestling. And of course, go to Tweaked Audio, buy their headphones, use the code for Wild Talk, and you will get money off. So that's always important. And his Twitter is MJ Public Relations. Just look that up, and that is his Twitter. Or MJK, I'm sorry.
MJKPR, I believe, is his Twitter. So follow him on Twitter. He's a cool dude.
Okay, so Rock, pimp everything.
Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, it's the return of the Wake Up Call with Johnny Cashmere. We missed last week's episode. Go check out the archive. She had Ashley Ioko and someone else. I can't remember. Michael Cremo. So check it out in the archives. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio joining myself and whoever else shows the fuck up. As we talk about the weird, the wacky, and the usual tomorrow, Saturday night is, well, it's technically tomorrow, but Saturday night, it's 2:49, which means on October 20th, it's 2:50. It's the big show where everyone's going to call in and have fun with us, because, yeah, that's the show. Sunday night, Trussel Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, as we cover TNA's Bound for Glory and preview and look ahead to what's coming up with the WWE and stuff. So check it, if you want to check it out, Tim has some new idea, so you're going to have to tune in for that. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, 3 hours of Raw. We condense it down to 45 minutes to an hour, and hopefully everyone will watch 3 hours this week, since I'm not all alone. Tuesday night, it is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik on the show. Will be the one, the only Shane Hurricane Helms. Wednesday night, it's just another goddamn wrestling show. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern, hashtag BS2012, and their campaign ad will debut on the show next Wednesday night, so you don't want to miss it. Check out WTRProductions.net if you need a website built, same as psychwarddesigns.com. Check out the refs too.
Breathe, Throck, breathe. Okay, now that you're feeling better, I just want to quickly plug the Rundown Nation, tumblr.com/blog/TheRundownNation. Lots of news and opinions from around the world, contributors such as myself and my friend Adam, basically bringing sensible thoughts into an erratic world. Coming soon will also be my own personal blog where I'll probably blog all about random shit. Follow me at The Mace Thing, and hopefully coming this weekend, the photographic and videographic proof that Massive Q and I are not the same person.
You realize Scott Barry is going to say shenanigans on that, right?
I understand this. Hence the videographic proof.
Gotcha. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. Follow me at Lins Ward, LINSWARD, on Twitter. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. I make pretty, pretty websites. One of them is castyrally.net. Please visit it. Please go to the store section, buy his t-shirts, and buy his pictures. He will sign them and personally send them to you. He's a very nice guy. He just had a baby with his wife. Please buy stuff because they're going to need money.
Diapers. They need diaper money.
Yeah. They need money for the baby. They're not desperate, though. But, yes, go buy their stuff. He's going to kill me now, probably. But, also, please listen to the show next week where we will have the recap of Bound for Glory. We'll be talking all about WWE. Forgive us for not doing the SmackDown recap tonight. Watch it tomorrow. It looks like it's going to be an awesome show.
Here's your SmackDown preview in two words, or three words. No Michael Cole.
There you go. No Michael Cole, and the Angry Buddies are going to be on. So there you go. You get JBL in place of Michael Cole. Watch the goddamn show. And of course, listen to all the fine programming right here on wildtalkradio.com. And once again, please visit our sponsors, PWMania.com and TweetAudio.com.
20 seconds.
So for Rock, for Mace, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we're out. Bye.
Boogity boogity boo. The American dreams of shine your light on land.